At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go!
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Binge Down TV. I am Paul, your host for today, and with me I have the whole Spartacus crew. I have Jimmy, Luke, Brian, and Kyle, and we are back with our Binge With Us series. And we are at the finale of Spartacus, Blood and Sand. We made it. It's been a long way. 13 episodes. We did it. 10-second recap. Two of us have seen it before. And the three of us now, me, Kyle, and Luke, have all seen it in the past. And we are getting Brian and Jimmy's reactions from season 13. Season 1, episode 13, Kill Them All. You guys ready?
Fresh off the press's reactions, baby. This was a good one in the style of a freaking Tarantino movie. We're starting in the middle, going back to the beginning. We're jumping all over the place. It was a great episode, a fitting finale to a great season.
Yeah, such an awesome episode. Me and Brian had a little issues with our predictions. We found those out pretty quickly that we were getting them wrong. But awesome episode. You guys told me that it was going to be the best of the series, or season at least, and it delivered.
Yeah.
All right. All I can say is just clap, clap, clap. That one gets better every time you watch it. That was probably like my sixth time seeing it, and I still was just I was getting chills at every part. Like, I was just loving every second of that.
It was an honor to share that moment with the two of you guys.
Yeah, that was we'll let you know now, the five of us watched this together in some pretty closed quarters, and that was a good one to watch with a viewing party. I've actually watched it once since. It was a great episode.
Oh, R.I.P. Andy Whitfield. My God, what a performance, though. That was just like, I was ready to run through a wall at the end of the episode. God, it was so good. I love it.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we all watched it together, too, man. That was that was awesome.
Yeah, all right. Now let's get through it. All right, it starts out with all the gladiators walking out to the training grounds of the Ludus. Not sure what's going on. Then we look up on the balcony, and we see House of Badiatis completely decked out. There's plenty of guests there. They all look like high officials. We all know they're high officials. And Badiatis starts out with a speech saying, "The gods have showered the House of Badiatis with blessings." And then he goes on to say, "I've gathered you all here today so you can witness the fight of Spartacus versus Crixus."
And we literally, Brian was the one like, "Is this happening?"
I looked around. I was like, "What?" There was no, like, intro to this. I was like, is this happening right now?
It's not in the trailer for season 13, episode 13.
I thought it was awesome because, like, right away, 5 seconds in, you already are seeing pretty much every single named character except for Glaber in this scene. Like, we even have Mira and Aurelia in the background on top of the balcony. We have Agron and Duro just, like, you know, on the side with Doctori there. All these Roman guards around. Obviously, you have Crixus and Spartacus there. It was just everyone, like, coming together for this final showdown between Spartacus and Crixus.
Starting out hot.
Yeah, that's what makes it one of the best, like, finale episodes of any season of television, is that every big player that you want and you've seen throughout the season to have something happen to or loose ends be tied up, like, they were bringing everybody in, they were getting some FaceTime, they were getting some dialogue, so...
Minus Glaber.
I was going to say, minus Glaber, but I'll forgive that because of how awesome the episode was.
Yeah. So, So as Paul was saying, like, we're getting a little bit of the intro from Body Artist, you know, announcing what's going on here. We're going to get a little bit of an exhibition match between Spartacus and Crixus, and he does note that it's going to be, you know, to the death. It's going to be it's just to celebrate Glaber's patronage for for House Body Artist.
But it's the opposite of an exhibition. It's going to be to the death.
Sorry,
not for sport.
What's the term? Because they say it multiple times.
I know. I completely
Doctore drops it to Crixus, and like I feel like there's like a little bit of change in the attitude, or it's like something like that.
It essentially means mano y mano, right? Like an Agni Kai or whatever. If there's any Avatar lovers
I like
out
that.
There. Oh, I would love to watch Spartacus versus Crixus in an Agni Kai.
Spartacus and Crixus versus Aang in an Agni Kai.
Who knows what's going to happen in the next couple seasons, you know? I won't rule it out. I've never seen it before.
So is there anything else really important that they say? You know, Spartacus and Crixus, when they get announced, they're walking to the center, getting ready to fight, and Spartacus is saying, like, Crixus, and Crixus responds with, I've given you my answer. So, you know, they're not agreeing with each other, but other than that...
Don't we get a little bit of... So, everything blends together because, you know, it's like this scene is so split up, but don't we get at this point where even before Spartacus and Crixus step up, you see Aggron's a little already on edge, like he's looking at the Roman guard sword and stuff like that, Spartacus is like, yo, bro, you gotta calm down, you're gonna get us all caught first, relax.
Tensions are high.
Aggron did that a couple times throughout the episode.
Yeah. Even when, because when Spartacus ends up dropping one of his swords, which he never picks back up, Aggron looks at it, like, thinking, like, okay, that's that, he's going to use that.
And then, we'll get to it.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to get to that.
But other than that, Body Artist says begin, they clash, and then it goes black, and we get the title 2 days earlier. And we get Spartacus training with Raskos, the other Gaul. He's been in it since like episode one or two. He's been around the whole show.
He looks a little bit like the dude who had Fugitive on his head. Like, do you remember the tattoo? He looks a little bit like him, but he's just always been a big underling of Crixus. Like, he's like a big, huge supporter. And I think he even comes to say later in this scene, like, some under this ludus still see Crixus as the true champion of House Body Artists. And he's like, count me among them. So we find out here, which kind of, I wish they hinted more at this earlier in the season, but I guess you have to just like assume that like there was just like a building faction that didn't really see Spartacus as being like a true die for House Body Artist gladiator. Like he was more just kind of, you know, like he wasn't like how Crixus was at the beginning of the season, who was just exactly who you would want to be your champion if you were Body Artist.
Which, in their defense, Spartacus wasn't that guy.
Not
and
at
he
all.
Never was. He was just a dope fighter. So respect to him.
Yeah, he saw right through that. So right away, we kind of put it together that the gladiators are split. At the end of the last episode, we know that Aggron and Duro were talking about, or they were interested in Spartacus's discussion about escaping. So we know
he actually said nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, nothing
they
sounds
were
like escaping.
In nothing.
Yeah. So right away. We know that the gladiators are split.
Yeah, so we have Spartacus requesting to go. He needed permission to go to the palace. So now, literally, he needs permission to do anything now from the Roman guards. You know, Doctora could take care of it, but apparently he has to ask the Roman guards as well. So he goes over to Aggron and Duro, and he tells them, you know, that we can't get any of Crixus's guys, you know, but, you know, he's going to work on it. Duro and Aggron tell him that they have Hamilcar,
yeah, just a guy.
So like Paul was saying, pretty much at this point, they don't have enough.
It seems like they come to the decision, we need Crixus or this is not going to happen.
Right.
Like, we just don't have the bodies for it. So that's where they pivot their efforts towards, is recruiting Crixus to their cause, and then...
They can't even talk to Crixus at the moment, though.
Right.
Because Crixus is still chained up. In the cell because of his freak out at Asher last episode, and because of, you know, Navy is gone. So he's completely chained up. They can't even talk to him, and so they're kind of, like, worrying. Duro and Aggron are like, all right, so, like, what are we going to do? And Spartacus is like, don't worry. Like, opportunity will present itself. He's like so calm about it.
Yeah, doesn't he say something like being the champion affords its, you know,
perks pretty much. Perks. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, he is pretty confident.
I was watching that scene, like in the beginning when before Spartax is even talking to Aggron, and like, you know, he has that moment where he can't convince he can't convince the fugitive guy
Roscoe
to join the cause, so he like has to ask Doctori to ask the guards to go over and train, right? And like the more I thought about it, the more that makes sense that would be the state that the Ludus is in, because not because solely because the Romans are there and they're just like being hard asses, but at the end of last episode when Badiatis was like talking to Lucretia and they were whipping Crixus and stuff, he was saying like, all right, like it's time to start getting like a handle on this thing. So I don't think that the Romans being there was just like it wasn't just they have to go through the Romans to do. I think Badiatis set this up on purpose. Like, yeah, like we're everyone's going two levels deep and through authority to do anything around here now because of all the shit that went down when Glaber was here.
Yeah, and he did say last episode he's going to be ruling with an iron fist.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So I was thinking more and more about it because I was really kind of annoyed that why the fuck would anyone care what the Romans have to say here? Like when they're in like such a structured, like historical place of gladiator training, but it makes sense because most likely Badiatis said. Like, even Doctori is not, you have to go through the, even, like, the guards and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but real quick sidebar, let's talk about him being, like, so, like, he literally decides that he's going to make this plan, and you're saying, like, oh, you know, we'll get Crixus on our side, don't worry about it. He's always like that for every single plan he has, and they're all ridiculous plans, so I didn't know how this was going to work, you know, but... I mean,
calm, cool, and collected, baby.
I mean, that was my biggest quarrel with Spartacus at the towards the beginning of the series. I just thought this guy's biting off way more than he's capable of chewing. And as the series progressed, he kept getting away with this shit. And now I'm just rolling with it. I'm like, all right, Spartacus is escaping. I'm all in.
Yeah, super optimistic, but he'll take care of it. It's the finale.
Mm-hmm. It's just like if he has a sword in his hand, unless he's just wildly outnumbered and like people have like. Arrows aimed at him and stuff. Like Spartacus is just confident he's gonna outlive it, you know. Like
or Doctori, he's scared of Doctori.
Yeah, and Doctori is the only other
as
person
he should
that.
Be.
Yeah, exactly.
Hell
exactly.
Yeah, as he should be.
So
yeah.
I think the last thing we see here is Spartacus is talking to Duro and Aggron, and then they look over and they see the Roman guard completely beating the crap out of one of the other gladiators. So you can tell, and the Roman guard says something like, he's like, oh, did I tell you to stand up? And then, like, whoops him again in the face with a club. So they're completely just abusing the gladiators.
Yeah, if it sounded like I was defending their presence there earlier, still fuck them guys. Like, they're still the equivalent of, like, Glaber's hands in the House Badiatis, so fuck them all.
Yeah, they're pieces of crap.
Yeah, I mean, that leads right into our boy Doctori. He's requesting a meeting with Badiatis because pretty much what Paul just said, he's telling him that, you know, the Roman guards are being overly hostile, and he's defending his gladiators. He's saying, you know, they're suffering for it. And Badiatis tells him that it's a necessary evil so they can have Glaber's support and patronage, and he needs to accept it because Badiatis wants to be a politician, and he's moving up in the world.
Yeah, he's not going to have any time to still be running this little, I mean, not even little, but this just Ludus in Capua when he's thinking... Rome. Like, he's going to Rome. Like, he's going to start grinding through the levels of the Roman ranks to try and get up there.
So not only do we see the room of busts with matching penises.
Hell yeah.
But, we learned that Badiatis wants to offer Doctori the Lannistership of the Ludus.
Yeah, can we just get, like, a 6-episode season, what could have been... And just Doctori.
I'm down with that.
As Lannista. Like, that would have been the coolest thing.
Dude, if anybody deserves their freedom and to be a Lannista, if that's what they want, Doctori.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been phenomenal to watch.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he doesn't really become Lannista.
Yeah, well, the Ludus doesn't really keep being a Ludus after this episode. It's just something else entirely, but we'll get to that.
I had a pretty big issue with this scene, like with Badiatis and Doctori's conversation, because like I think it's this scene, right, that he confronts him, he puts for the last time, he throws on the Dr. Doctore hat. Or Detective Doctore hat, my
God. What if he was a doctor, too?
Dr. Detective Doctore's hat on and starts questioning Badiatis. And for some reason, this felt a little, like, kind of anticlimactic. Like, he just, like, kind of just threw information at him and just let Badiatis do what he does. He's, like, even, Badiatis even stopped and, like, he thought his gears were turning.
Yeah.
He's like, how am I going to spin this? It's like, why did he even give him the chance to do that? That didn't really sit well with me, especially because of how smart Doctore has been this entire season. It's just like, I don't know. What did you guys think?
He's a little soft.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, you know, the reason why, you know, this whole conversation comes about is because Badiatis tells him he's going to be a Lanista, and then he's thinking he's going to get all this gratitude. And Doctore is kind of just, like, staying quiet, may giving him a little look. And Badiatis says, what's the deal? You know, and that's where he asks him. I kind of took it like maybe, you know, I mean, I definitely thought he should have, like, you know, argued back or fought back a little bit. But I took it kind of like he was like, all right, I'm taking in the facts. Maybe we'll deal with this later kind of deal. You know, always.
He did kind of blindside him with it. I mean, how it happened is right when Badiatis told Doctore, Doctore hesitated. And then he said, I have heard rumors. And Badiatis has a cool line. And it's like, we'll let them
come to light or something.
Yeah. He says something cool in the way they speak. And then he says, you talk about giving me freedom. I heard Barca once wanted his freedom and that he actually died by your hand. So he, like, really did just kind of throw it all out there. He didn't try to do, like, the trap you in the, like,
and didn't even name
Asher.
Drop Asher at this point, like, saying, like, did he did
well,
he bring
does
Asher?
He does. I'm pretty sure he says what was Asher's part, right after Badiatis, and then literally Badiatis is like, don't worry about it.
No Badiatis says he sent Barca to send a simple message to the magistrate's family, but instead he murdered them all. Like,
another lie.
Anyone that knows Barca, especially Detective Doctore, is going to know that there's no way Barca would have done that. Barca was, like, low-key kind of kind. Like, he was, like, a good person, especially to
Petros.
Yeah, like, Barca would never have done that. Like, and that didn't even raise any red flags. Whatever. I kind of got over it, but
I back my boy Doctore, and I'm taking it that the red flags were all up in that head, and he's going to deal with it later. But
yeah, he also... One of the last things that Badiatis says is that, like, my guy is currently drawing up the papers for your freedom. So, like, there's no guarantee to it. So he could be hanging, like, you know, dangling that in front of him. Like, just watch your step, bro, because I got, like, I have your freedom right here. And if
you
go any,
say that
you go any farther.
Before he called him out?
No, that's like, I think that's the last thing that he says.
Well,
he kind of uses it, like, a little bit of
Yeah, because I the picture
diversion.
I have is, like, Badiatis, because he, like, when he's thinking, he walks away from Animaeus.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he's, like, looking out the window a little bit. And then he crosses back across him to leave, and then he drops that line. I think.
I don't know. Overall, whatever. Dr. Doctore was a great.
Dr. Doctore.
I called him Animaeus right there, too. I was getting into characters, Badiatis.
Well, that's where we first find out, right? Or is that a little bit later?
No, that's the first name drop. Yeah. He said, you'll be called by your free man's name, Animaeus.
Right.
And we've been, at least the vets have been referring to him as Animaeus this whole podcast, but I just assumed that they said it pretty early and I just didn't pick up on it.
And
but
I've been purposely, like, looking for it, and I was going to say, I didn't realize, like, I didn't see it ever, so.
You said it when we watched, too. You looked and you were like, that was the first time that he called him that, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he tries to fucking use it later at the end of the episode.
It's a cool ass name, man. Like,
oh, yeah, man. Use that.
So is Doctore, though. So is Detective Doctore.
So is Doctor
Detective Doctore.
Yeah, I guess now that I'm thinking about the first time I watched it, I probably, just like you guys, would have just thought his name was Doctore the entire time. Mm.
They definitely say throughout the season that Doctore, they use it as a title as well. Like, you can tell, like, the Doctore of this Ludus. But so I guess we could assume that wasn't his actual name. But yeah, this is the first real name drop for him.
Right, I think, is that everything we get out of this specific scene?
Yeah. Badiatis somehow convinces Doctore not to worry about it, and then Badiatis goes to talk to Lucretia.
Wait, before that, did we miss when Spartacus talks with Mira?
That's later.
No, that's later.
That's later. Because
Spartacus talks to Badiatis and requests Mira.
Yeah, that's literally two later. Scenes from now. It's later. So yeah. So okay. Right now, I think the next scene we have is Badiatis talking to Lucretia on the balcony, and he's saying they're gonna have a son. She says, "How are you so sure it's gonna be a son?" And he says, "The gods are blessing us," you know. And they're talking about the celebration of Glaber's patronage. They have Alithia bringing in the elite, so they want to make sure they satisfy the elite, and they know that there's only one thing that they have that others don't, and that's the exclusive throwdown of the boy Spartacus. And Lucretia's the one who says, "Well, let's put in Crixus, let's give him a shot at it." And Badiatis, obviously from last episode, or was it two episodes ago, but knows the deal, and he told her, like, you need to back off Crixus, we're done with that now that you're going to be, the mother of my child. But she says, no, we need to get it. This is a good fight, but we got to make sure Crixus loses. We can let him fade from memory. And then they talk about ensuring Spartacus will win the contest.
And let me ask you two new guys, Brian and Jimmy, what did you think her actual intentions were? Did you think, she was just on team, I fucking hate Crixus now, and she wanted to actually do that? Or what did you think there was, a double?
No, I think she was forcing herself to act against Crixus, even though she was conflicted. I think she just probably feels like shit right now because she had legit feelings for Crixus and just found out that he did not reciprocate them in the slightest.
Well, shit, Kyle had legit feelings for her. For Crixus right now.
I'm going to say, yeah, I have feelings for Crixus, not Lucretia.
Sorry, don't we all?
I have feelings of jealousy towards Lucretia.
There's a lot of feelings going around in this room right now.
One really cool detail at the beginning of that scene. So Badiatis, I believe they start out in their bedroom and kind of proceed to the balcony as they're talking. But while they're in there, Badiatis comes in. He's practicing his speech that he's going to give to them. Is that this scene now, or is that a little bit later? I think it's now. And he's saying, because we're going to have him,
and we can decide this fight,
he's practicing his speech on Lucretia and says, the gods have showered the house of Badiatis with great fortunes. And one little cool little detail is Lucretia says, use blessings instead of fortunes, because fortunes gives the connotation of money. And the first line of this episode was that line. It was Badiatis giving the speech to the entire Ludus, and he said, "The gods have showered the house of Badiatis with blessings." So it was a little cool, reward.
Yeah, that was the first time I heard it, is when you brought that up on our last watch, and I was like, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
it was just a little reward for, the avid,
watching
watchers.
It for a second time, yeah.
And shout out to the writers on that one.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean during this talk, when they're talking about making sure Spartacus is going to win, do they specifically say yet that it's going to be poison, or is he just saying Asher's going to take care of it pretty much, or we'll figure it out?
No, they definitely don't name drop poison.
They don't say it's poison. Right. They just said we got to ensure it loses.
Right.
So you assume they're going to do something.
And Badiatis had that little line to Asher, and he was just like, or maybe it was Ash. When they were talking to each other, one of them brings it up and just holding the vial, and he's like, "It's crazy how, such a little amount of liquid can topple a legend," or something like that.
Yeah, right. Asher, right after he eyes up Aurelia.
Jesus Christ, man.
Asher, what a snake, dude.
Yeah, he's a snake. But before that, Badiatis calls in Spartacus and tells him the news that he's to fight his arch-rival Crixus.
Mm-hmm.
And Spartacus is like, "Oh, okay, we're going to be in the villa, displayed in front of everybody again?" And he's asking him really specific questions, and I'm surprised Badiatis didn't hesitate at all, or I guess he didn't think about it.
Badiatis has his head in other places.
Oh, yeah.
He is not focusing. He just told Doctore, "I don't want to care about the gladiators anymore. You're the Lanist now.
True.
I'm out of here." He thinks he is signed, sealed, delivered, going to Rome. He doesn't give a. He just thinks this is a formality, and then he gets to begin his new life. So He's not paying attention.
I mean, after pulling off the Salonius thing, man, you got to be riding high,
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Seriously, Badiatis is thinking that he's living his best life right now. He's going through the formalities. All he has to do is, present Spartacus and Crixus, make this, have Alithia say this, prepared speech for them, and then it's just up and up from here. Mm-hmm. He's not thinking, he's not thinking about any of the gladiators at this point.
Meanwhile, Spartacus is plotting, scheming, And he says, you know, there's no fun in slaughtering an already injured animal. Like, why don't you let Crixus return to training? And that way it'll be more of a show for the viewers. And Bodyatus is like, wow, dude, you are just so good. Hyped. Yeah, he's like, I'm so proud of you.
You truly have fucking head for one of these things.
Crixus now, of course, he was like, oh, like, don't worry, like, I'll figure it out. And this is how he's figuring it out. Crixus is coming back.
Yeah, so Bodyatus agrees, but he says, you know, only to train. Crixus can only come out of his chains when it's time to train. Otherwise, he's going to be stuck in his cell. And then, Luke, this is where Spartacus also says, you know, I need to meet with my girl for a little bit.
What does he say? There are things I crave more than sleep.
Yeah. And that was funny because when we were watching together, I was like, he's not asking for sex. He needs her to do something.
We were watching it and, like, you know, it switches the scenes and they're making out. And, yeah, you were like, all right, now what's he going to ask her to do?
Like, yeah, they're faking the makeout because the Roman guard's watching
him. Right,
because he's watching, right. Okay, that was a real makeout.
I mean, it was a real makeout.
There was a second reason for it.
No,
it wasn't going anywhere if it was up to Spartacus, so.
Whoa.
Going to stop at first base.
One of my favorites.
As soon as they know that they're alone in the cell and the guard's not watching, Spartacus pretty much starts to tell her the plan, and he's trying to get her on his side. And he explains still, you know, she's asking about his wife again, and he explains, like, how much he loved her. What does he say? She was the sun that will never rise again. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is crazy that, you know, she agrees, and she's like, but I have one condition. You must make love to me, you know, and the way you made love to Sura, show me the same love. And it's like, oh, damn, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah. Spartacus makes the best deal in the history of deals of all time. Still holds today in 2020 from ancient Roman times. The best deal.
Oh, man. Mira would never make it as a GM.
No. Well, maybe it's the Browns.
I mean, she got what she wanted.
Yeah. Well,
I guess.
All right, so now we're at...
Whoa. We're not going to talk about the sex scene?
All right, play-by-play, Paul. Hit it.
No. We didn't see anything, guys.
We just see Spartacus get ready to mount, and then we just...
There was some very sensual kissing, and then...
You just
side pan.
And we've seen what Spartacus can do, so you know she's going to do her job well, whatever it is.
Let's debate now that you guys have the full first season under your belt. Like, is there anyone at this table that wants to fight right now? Because I still stand on Sura over Mira.
In terms of looks.
Sorry. Like, who's better for Spartacus and who's hotter? Like, what? Give me some thoughts here.
Okay, better for Spartacus is Sura. She can talk to the gods, man.
Okay.
I agree with that and that reason, actually.
Yeah.
We're all in. Mira. I mean, Sura over Mira, because I feel like Kyle's not in on that.
On pure looks, you are
big Mira guy.
Absolute beautiful women. Yeah. But I prefer Mira to Sura, and I have no arguments of, you know, agree to disagree on that one.
I was a young boy. So Sura comes in, first episode, titties out, rocks my world. And then, it's like, oh, she dies, which is terrible, sad. And then it's like, how could it get better? And then Spartacus immediately latches on to the next hottest girl in the show. And then I think throughout the rest of the season one...
Spartacus doesn't latch on. He gets...
Yeah.
She
opposite of that. But starts hitting that. And... I was full in on Mira, so I'm a big Mira guy.
Yeah. I mean, I like Mira, dude. I do like Mira, but I think Sur is better for him.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to get that out there.
But like B-Tom said, man, two beautiful women.
How great Sur was. Because Mira's awesome. Mira's, like, probably the second best choice in the entire show, but Sur's number one.
I like Navia. She's a strong woman.
We didn't get enough Sur for me to, like, be that compelled by. Like, it's unfortunate.
I think she's in, like, 4 or 5 episodes, though, which is actually something I didn't remember, like, off the top of my head.
She's only, like, alive and interacting with Spartacus in real time in the first episode. Right. The others are dreams, which isn't really her, and the other one's a flashback.
And her death scene, man. She was alive then.
But the dreams, I mean... She just died.
It's a compliment to her, the dreams. She's so great that he just constantly dreams about her.
Yeah, how many dreams was Mira in? None. It's a hard zero.
Ton of mine.
ton of Kyle's.
All right, sorry for distracting.
A lot of my 16-year-old dreams. What were we talking about? I don't even remember. Okay. So, the next scene we get is back in the Ludus, I believe. Unless it goes back to the flashback. But I don't think so. Not yet.
No, not yet. No.
So, yeah, they're showing Spartacus training with Ravenous? I can't even remember.
Yeah, Ravenous, I guess his name is. I can't even remember his name. But Crixus takes that spear and... Are you talking about Spartacus or Crixus here?
Oh, it is Crixus.
Crixus is sparring or, you know, going up against Ravenous, and he just smashes the staff right in half, shows him what's good. But the big part would be Spartacus. He's telling the plan to Duro and Aggron, letting them know that, you know, what Badiatis told him so that they can set it all up. So then Doctore says, you know, rest and eat, you know, and that was when Luke said, like, damn, their life sucks.
Literally, we begin at noon sun, something like that, like just straight up just training again, like their lives are just...
After noon sun passes, so it could
be
worse.
Yeah, they're
solid 1:30.
It's not the height of the sun.
Eat your half portion of rice and moldy bread, and then get right back out.
Now, B-Toms, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but this is one of my favorite scenes coming up, and I think you're so good at explaining the scene between Crixus and Spartacus. When he's trying to explain to him the plan and he wants him to join him.
Right before we get to that, I just want to point out that, like, when you said you saw Crixus right before this, Crixus was, like, breaking the spear of the other Gaul, and he was, like, basically looking like he's in prime shape.
Yeah.
So, it's just, you know, like, it's the writer's way of just saying, like, this Navia thing lit a fire under his ass. Like, he doesn't give a shit anymore. He's not hurt even a little bit. Like, he's pretty much at peak condition.
I mean, I guess during their talk, he literally says, like, you're looking like you weren't even whipped the other day, you know?
Yeah.
Spartacus says that to Crixus.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, when they're taking off all their pads, Spartacus goes over to sit down next to Crixus.
This is, like, the most epic bro, not really, like, bro talk, but kind
but
of bro,
bro
talk.
Bro
yeah.
talk.
Bro, come on.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of the only times in the series that Crixus and Spartacus, like, it's the only time Crixus addresses Spartacus where he's not being petty, and he kind of, like, cuts the act of the champion of Capua and, like, talks to him as an equal, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that because Crixus, you know, Crixus is like onions. Onions are like ogres. Ogres, onions, and Crixus, they all have layers, you know? Like, you're just peeling back the layers to Crixus.
I had no idea where you were going with that one.
Yeah, I keep guessing.
It.
You know I do. What even happens in this scene? Talking about onions. Spartacus and Crixus talk. Spartacus essentially breaks down the plan for escape. He says, hey, this is what we're doing. It's happening.
Well,
like,
before he even gets that out, like, Crixus is like, oh, like, my other Gauls, Roscoe's already told me, like, you're crazy.
That's right. Yeah, Crixus is privy to it, but Spartacus says, we need you for this to work, and Crixus is resilient. I don't think he's opposed to it, but he's kind of playing the honor card again and says, no, I want to achieve my freedom in the arena, and I want to win back the coin, you know, win the coin needed to find and free Navia as well.
Yeah, and he pretty much says straight up, like, how am I going to find Navia if I'm being hunted like a dog by the Romans? You know, how does your plan help me?
Which is reasonable, because Spartacus's whole thing is he was going to play on the emotional appeal of wanting to get back to Navia, but he's like, bro, like, this isn't going to help, this is only going to hurt me. I'm going to be one of the most wanted people in the entire, in all of Capua. Like, how am I supposed to help my girl?
Spartacus then confides in Crixus, you know, the truth about Sora and how Badiatis ordered him dead and warns him, you know, feel free to toil around here in the Ludus as long as you like, but he ordered the death of my wife. What's not to say he wouldn't do the same for Navia? Like,
and it's, you could just tell that it visibly, like, struck a nerve with Crixus, because that's, like,
definitely
one of the only things that he can relate to Spartacus on, like, a personal level.
You know, and I just want to say, too, like, now that we know everything from the first 12 and, you know, a quarter episodes of the season, like, Asher was given Navia as, like, the gift or whatever, in quotations, but now that whole thing went down last episode, you know, Navia's punishment is I'm going to cut your hair and make you go away. But she has so many of Lucretia and Badiatis' secrets. Like, I mean, I know that you could just say, all right, she's a slave, we're not going to listen. But why not just kill her at this point if you're Badiatis or Lucretia? Because literally all she could do for them is cause problems.
Great point.
It's hard for me to answer that because, like, where they do send her, we don't find out till season three. And it kind of was to a situation that wouldn't hurt them. If that,
okay.
I don't want to get through season three, meaning the season after the prequel. I see what you're saying and why you think that, but just it's not like a plot hole.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Yeah, so Crixus's main goal is to find and rescue Navia, and Spartacus's main goal is to kill Badiatis. So, you know,
they just come to the. I think Spartacus says, "Then we have conflicting goals," and Crixus says, "It would appear so." You know. Spartacus says, one of us must die tomorrow. Crixus says, I fear it was always meant to be. Something like that. They embrace, do the infamous gladiator shake.
We could have been brothers in another
life. We could have been, but not this one. We could have been brothers in another life. And they make this pact wherein Spartacus says, if I am to fall tomorrow. Well, Crixus says it first. He says, I would hope that if I were to fall tomorrow, then you would find Navia for me. And Spartacus says, and I would hope that if it were me to fall, then you would take Badiatis' head.
And then they do the
handshake. And it was awesome. It was perfect because, you know, they both, like, meant it. And that was the first sign of mutual respect between the two. You know, they obviously knew, or we as the audience knew, that they respected each other enough to become each other's nemesis. You know, Spartacus isn't going to... Or Crixus, rather, wouldn't pick a fight with anybody who's not on his level. So it was just nice to see the culmination of both of their character building into this. It was a great scene.
Yeah, and I'm going to use that handshake from now on for the rest of my life.
I might be jumping the gun here a little bit, but when do we get the next conversation with Aggron about Crixus? It's not this next scene that we get the conversation with Spartacus and Aggron where... Basically, Spartacus says, like, yeah, he's not in.
Right.
And then Aggron's like, well, what are we going to do? And then that's when Spartacus brings up, he's like, they're going to, after I kill Crixus, they're going to seize the moment and all the Gauls will jump in because there's only going to be one champion standing.
Right.
Is that.
That's coming up. There's still a little bit with Asher. Yeah.
Yeah, two scenes.
My bad.
It's all good because, I mean, pretty much it's the next scene with Spartacus. But, you know, the next scene that we have is Asher with Badiatis. And this is where, I guess, Asher actually brings the poison into what you were saying, where they didn't talk about it before, but they were talking about it now, showing him the poison, saying, I'm not going to kill him directly, just to weaken him enough to allow Spartacus to gain advantage, and our boy, the legend, Crixus. And then Badiatis commands him to put it in Crixus' drink and give it to him when he's about to eat his meal when he's chained up in his cell.
Like I said earlier, this was the scene where Aurelia was walking out of Badiatis' office and Asher is just eyeing her up and down the entire time and says to Badiatis, Varro had a good eye. Like, he's moving, like,
ass,
he has
dude.
No respect whatsoever.
Well, he did just lose his wife.
Yeah, right. Was it his wife?
I don't know.
Poor Asher.
Yeah. I mean, we get right into the next Asher scene here where he's preparing the meal for Crixus. And he's flirting with Aurelia, you know, all up in her shit. And he subtly says to Aurelia that Crixus is not going to win. And he keeps like...
Aurelia was saying, you know, I hope Crixus kills Spartacus for what he did to Varro. And Asher was like, I don't think so.
I don't think Spartacus will fall on this day.
Yeah, so he continues to hit on Aurelia, and then Mir comes in and says she's needed, so Aurelia leaves, and then Asher puts the poison in. Now's your spot, Luke.
Okay, so I don't even have to touch on it again, but this is where we finally get... Where Spartacus starts distributing the knowledge that, you know, Crixus is not in on the plan.
Yeah, and also, they do say... This is where Aggron is telling Duro, like, stay with me, I'll protect you, and Duro's saying, no, man. I'm going to do this myself. You know, I'm not going to have your protection. You don't need to hold my hand, pretty much.
Spartacus has to tell them to stop, like, literally yelling about their plans to escape when Doctori's, like, hovering over them.
Plus all the Roman guards that are around them.
Yeah.
You know.
And it is hilarious because they are being so loud. It's like, dude, you're literally sitting in a quiet, like, huddle. like all on your knees, and Doctore's our boy Detective Doctore, open ears, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Then Aggron talks a little shit, doesn't he?
What does he say?
Spartacus says, like,
oh,
whatever,
my
don't
God.
Speak so loudly. And then Aggron's like, oh, like, I'd love to kill Doctore or whatever. Or, like, I'd love to, like, cut the arm that holds that whip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Spartacus says that he's an honorable man and he won't have him die. And dude, he wouldn't kill him anyway, man.
Yeah, no way.
You kidding me?
Tyro and Aggron and the rest of the looters versus Doctore.
Dude, if Doctore got that arm chopped off, he would turn into Dr. Doctore, mend it up, and kill him with one arm.
Nah, he just attached the whip.
He would just beat him to death with his now detached arms.
Yeah, Jesus, man.
Yeah. So now we're still in that scene, kind of. And again, like Luke was saying earlier, you know, they have to ask for permission, not just from Doctore, but from the Roman guards. And Spartacus sees Aurelia, so he says, "I need to get some water." So they give him that permission. So Spartacus goes up to Aurelia and he tells her that, you know, shit's going to go down. She needs to get somewhere safe. And, you know, Aurelia is saying, you know, ever since Varro's dead, you know, there is no safety for me. There's no safe place, you know. And he's trying to say, like, I feel guilty. And still, from what we're saying the last couple episodes, she still is just like, F you, man. Like,
I had to, like, yell up at the sky. I just looked at the ceiling and said to myself, Aurelia has got to get on Team Spartacus.
Yeah,
like,
did,
I'm so tired of this. Like, he is spoon-feeding her. It wasn't me. It was this little punk-ass kid who turned fun sport in, like, an exhibition into death. Like, it didn't need to happen. I didn't want it to happen. And Aurelia's not having any of it.
Right.
It's so annoying.
But it is important that that is the moment when she finds out that
it was Numerius.
Numerius was the one that ordered Spartacus to kill Varro in, like, a friendly sport. It should not have happened. Now Aurelia has that knowledge in the back of her head.
Right.
Aurelia also alludes to the fact that she saw Asher poisoning Crixus.
Right,
so Spartacus now knows that Crixus is going to be at a disadvantage in the fight.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, she also said, like, oh, is that what you did to Varro? Is that how you beat Varro? Did you poison him, too? And he said, I had no hand in any of this, you know?
Right.
Our boy, most honorable man, dude.
I was going to say, that's offensive that she would even think Varro could touch Spartacus, to be honest.
Bro,
like,
really?
Varro was the man.
Shit about shit.
Yeah, Varro was the man. Varro was a beast.
Great tag team. Great shield holder.
Dude, Spartacus is the best fighter in the fucking ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, Prime Crixus has something to say about that. Doctore.
Doctore. You know, come on.
Can I get higher?
Crixus So, the next scene, we get a guard bringing Crixus his food, his poison food, and, you know, the door closes behind, and Crixus is about to drink, and all of a sudden, Lucretia pulls a Batman, and all of a sudden, she's in the doorway without making any noise. They're coming in.
True. We're just like, what the fuck?
I literally thought it was like a vision or something. She just jumped into the scene.
So Lucretia's there just to kind of see Crixus one last time before basically he's executed, and to really get closure on the situation. She goes in and she ends up telling Crixus, you know, I'm pregnant, and, you know, like, I could feel the blood of a champion, like, flowing through me. And Crixus has a great quote, and he says something along the lines of, there are times I've often dreamt of having a child with Navia.
Yeah.
And you can see,
like, her face lit up when he was starting to talk about the child.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second she says he says Navia, she's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one last time she says, you know, was there anything between us? To which she was like, no. And as she's walking out, he goes to sip from the poison cup. And real quickly, she goes, Crixus, and you don't really know what she's going to do. You don't, like...
Right, I thought she was going to stop him, to be honest. I thought that they're,
same.
You know...
And she hits him with the, I never intended it to end this way.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he drinks down, man.
Yeah, chugs it.
Yeah, so he's got the poison in him. Unfortunate for Crixus.
So now, I guess, we're at the celebration. Is this where, well, I guess, did we skip over the part where...
Much, there was probably another
there
fight
was a scene
that we kind of skipped, like, it would, when they went back.
Well, I think that we missed the scene with Alethea where Lucretia was telling her, like, this is the words that you need to say, word for word.
We definitely...
From Glaber's mouth.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, we missed that, but pretty much, you know, we get the celebration starting. The elite Romans are showing up. We have Sextus, his wife, Aemilia. I don't know if that's exactly how to say it. But anyway, it's Alethea who set that all up. Bodiatus makes his presentation, and he commands Crixus and Sparcus to start. So now that was kind of the flashback to the first scene. And then we get the fight, correct? To start?
Yeah, I think so. I think we actually... This is probably like the third time we jump back to it. I think we missed the second time, but yeah, like this is them. Now we have all the information. We know that Crixus is poisoned at this point. We know that you know, like Spartacus knows Crixus is not going to be in on this plan, so he's going to try and actually kill Crixus to gain the trust of the other Gauls. And then basically the only obstacle left is Doctore.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things of note while Bodiatus is. Given his, you know, the celebration is starting and Bodiatus is talking before he says, let's let the fighting begin. This is where Alethea does give that speech, and it's pretty much, like, obviously written straight up from Bodiatus and Lucretia. And I don't have the exact lines from it, but, you know, hilariously written to give Bodiatus and Lucretia their props from Glaber himself.
The final line was something along the lines of, Glaber saying how he could not speak highly enough of Bodiatus for all that he has done for Capua, and how he wants Bodiatus to, you know, follow and try getting into political office. To which one of the higher ups turned to Bodiatus and said, "Oh, like I had no idea you had any interest in politics." The Bodiatus is like, "Oh, I didn't really at all until Glaber brought it up."
So, yeah, what's God the position damn. That he's given?
It's like odd deal?
Something with an A.
Odd deal is one level below magistrate.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's the first time that they drop. Like, we haven't met someone with this title, I don't think. At least it hasn't been said by name, which. You know, like, I always recognize, like, praetor and magistrate, but, like, what they call Bodiatus, I think it's only ever mentioned in this scene, because it doesn't stick with me.
Yeah, and the other thing we get is, you know, I believe it's as Spartacus and Crixus are getting ready to square off, Mira asks to go get some wine, and Lucretia says, "No, make someone else do it, I need you here with me," and then she gives Spartacus the sign, like, "Nah, I can't help you right now."
Right.
And then...
she slips away soon
She
after,
does eventually
though.
Slip
I
away,
I think
yeah.
It's because she picks up that Lucretia is very invested in the drama of the fight. Mm-hmm. She's, like, focused on what's going to happen to Crixus.
She just, like, yeah, she just says, YOLO and bounces. Like, I got to go. It's the whole plan hinges on me being able to do this, so...
Exactly.
And while this is going on, there's a little chatter going on between Alethea and Numerius. And Alethea says something along the lines of, "Crixus is putting up more of a fight than Varro." And Numerius was like, "Varro, he was nothing."
Yeah.
Or something like that. And Aurelia's right behind, and she hears that.
Right.
Alethea says, "Poor Varro never stood a chance," and then shoots the look over at Numerius just to be like, "Yeah, we made sure he never had a chance."
He's like, "I'll never forget that night."
Unbelievable.
I think there was another line in there as well where Lucretia says something where along those lines of, you know, Crixus surprises until the very end. So she's kind of watching Crixus slowly weaken as the poison's hitting, and she's fully invested into it. She thinks she's going to watch him die.
Yeah,
and that's
I mean,
when Mira...
Right, I mean, there's chatter, like you said. People are like... wondering why it's a, you know, why Spartacus isn't taking care of him yet, why Crixus is actually showing he's looking good, you know. So I mean, that's where we're at now. We're at the fight. They're throwing down. They seem pretty even right now. In the beginning we don't see any. I didn't notice the poison. You know, I was watching every single technique. It looked picture perfect, man.
Like Doctore taught you.
Yes, just like Doctore taught me. But then, yeah, we quickly get to the part where Mira walks out. She goes down under the ludus, goes
to where the gate is,
right.
And the wine, like where all that's held.
Right, and then she sees the guard there, so she drops
the wine vase,
yeah, and then gives him a nice stab in the neck for good measure.
Right to the jugular.
Yep.
That was a cool scene by Mira. She's
she's
a smart character. Very
like,
resourceful.
Point,
yeah, she's on Team Spartacus, I respect that.
Everything was riding on that moment, too. I mean, if she couldn't kill that guard, if she got caught, I mean, the gates wouldn't have been open.
Yeah.
And then the gladiators would have been fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Spartacus gets up onto the balcony, like, he could have, threw a hand down, sort of picking him up slowly, who knows, whatever. That was an important, that was basically Mira jumping both feet into the deep end. She's fully in on this rebellion now.
So she gives, it flashes back to the fight, and it's kind of a funny little shot of her, like, waving to Spartacus with a bloodied hand just to let him know it's on.
More than that, it was, like, blood on her neck and her face.
Spartacus
just
does a lot of, like, looking at other things and doing other things in the middle of fights, man. He's like, let me look up, see what's going on up there. Let me see what's going on. Yeah.
He's like, he has to let the fight go on a little long because shit needs to happen in the background a little bit.
You gotta be paying attention against Crixus,
and also
Crixus,
I think even Numerius says, like, why is he or someone says, why is he taking so long, and Body Odyssey is like, let it breathe, like the fight just started. It's a spectacle, come on, like they're gladiators, they're
fucking has head for this shit,
exactly. But yeah, so honestly I don't know about what you guys thought, but as far as like one-on-one fights have been going this season, like this was a little bit of like a basic kind of fight, and obviously it was meant to be. It wasn't supposed to be like a hardcore 100% Spartacus versus 100% Crixus, but like it was like,
this is the first time where the fight is like the background, and everything that's going on in the background of the fight is the important stuff.
Right, which you wouldn't expect when we finally get the Crixus and Spartacus throwdown.
There wasn't enough electric guitar in this battle. That's what it was.
I disagree. I thought it was
there was a good amount of electric guitar, though. Yeah. So as the fight starts to continue, Crixus does eventually start to feel the effects of the poison. He's slowing down a little bit. They trade blows, wherein Spartacus causes Crixus's shield to kind of fall a little bit, kind of near the balcony, and he also,
disarms. Push kick and rolls him towards the balcony. Yeah.
Well, even before that, he tells Crixus. He says, like, they poisoned you. Before he even pushes him over there, he's like, you're poisoned. Like, you're not going to win this fight, basically. Like,
A few times during the fight where Spartacus is trying to say, get on my side. I mean, there's one where he's on his back, and he's literally staying on his back so he can tell Crixus.
That's why I emphasize that he lost his shield. That allows Spartacus to get, like, a chokehold grapple on him where they can have, like, a private exchange. He says, they poisoned you. You can't win this fight if it's to the death. Join me, brother.
Join me.
And then Crixus just has this face, and at the end it almost looks like he's trying to smile a little Crixus smile or something. And
well,
Spartacus.
First, no, because he first, like, when Spartacus does, like, kind of roll him, kick him over towards the balcony, Spartacus, or Crixus has his back to Spartacus, and Crixus looks up onto the balcony and you could just see something click behind his head. He makes the realization that he's going to do this. He's going to jump in here.
And right before that clinch happened, where they kind of told each other, or Spartacus talked to Crixus, Crixus disarmed one of Spartacus's swords, right?
Right.
Flew over towards the gladiators, and Aggron was eyeing it up real hard.
Right.
Yeah, and I was like, don't you jump out there too early, bro. Don't ruin everything.
Oh, my God.
So, B-Toms, Crixus looks up at the balcony.
Looks up at the balcony. Slowly picks up the old shield, says, kind of under his breath, but kind of loud too at the same time, he just goes, Spartacus.
Yep.
And he gives the shield a little pat, pat, pat.
Oh my
God. Kneels down. Spartacus gets it right.
He knows his finishing move is coming.
He just sprints full force. And what other finishing move would we have but the shield jump? Onto the balcony.
God, we get the shield jump with the sun in the background. Spartacus slow motion jumping, going, ah!
The five of us were screaming watching this live. And Jimmy was going, I knew it! I knew it!
Well, also, I didn't realize it as much like the first couple times I'd seen it, but Crixus doesn't really give him any help. Like, that is what an athletic feat that is by Spartacus. Because Crixus is, I guess, providing like counterweight on the back of
his
shield.
Just allowing him to jump. He's not giving them the push.
Yeah. Right. Granted, he's poisoned, but like, that is so funny. He jumps so fucking high.
Michael Jordan from the free throw.
Yeah.
Yo, that scene is specific scene is so goddamn good. I just got chills talking about it. Holy shit.
The background of the sunset and like the line of gladiators along the cliff. It was great.
You just felt the weight of so much character development, so much bromance between Crixus and Spartacus finally coming to fruition. Like, that shield jump was straight up from Theocles. Like, that was like, oh my god, there was just so much good shit happening.
Yeah, they say when you die, like, your life flashes before your eyes, and this scene is definitely going to be one of those things that I see before I die. Look at that. I'm watching it right now on Paul's phone on the table, and it's so fucking good.
It's so freaking good. And he and Bodiatus just has this look on his face like, holy fuck, what is happening right now?
Yeah, we talked about it in an earlier episode. I believe it was B-Toms. You were kind of making the distinction. It might have been you, Kyle. The Ludus was kind of, you know, lower than the balcony. In the Ludus was the gladiators and the slaves. And, you know, above them, up on the balcony, is the higher-ups, the Dominus, the guests. And there's such a difference between those two that watching Spartacus jump from the Ludus to the balcony after their tone has been set where, like, this is high, sophisticated area. Slaves aren't supposed to even be allowed to run around here. The fact that Spartacus jumps up there and just shatters that ceiling, you can tell how intense that moment really is.
Super,
and you know,
symbolic,
the consequences.
Yeah.
The consequences are immediate.
It's just an iconic shot.
So good.
I love it. What else can you say about it? You know, it was awesome. It was like,
so as Spartacus is in the air, flying slow motion towards Bodiatus, and Bodiatus is freaking out in his head real quick. He somehow has the reflexes to grab one of these
Sextus.
Nobles, Sextus, and just kind of shove him right in front of him. And that's where Spartacus's sword goes right through his face and, like, kind of, you know, sets that whole dramatic blood all over Bodiatus's face. Everyone up there starts freaking out, screaming, like, what the fuck is happening?
The guy that, his name's Sextus, he's, if I didn't have notes right in front of me, I wouldn't have remembered his name. He's nobody, but he instinctively grabs Asher as he gets stabbed through the head, just a reflex, and they both kind of fall from the balcony onto the Ludus, so.
And then what a great scene where Spartacus is going for the kill again, and Doctore, man, with the whip, just
grabs his goddamn arm as he's going for that second stab right there.
Yeah. Spartacus, like, looks back and is like, you motherfucker.
Yep,
like,
yep.
Of course it's this guy that's stopping me inches away from getting what I want.
So quickly, though, Crixus is there to cut the whip.
That was the best. That moment was so good.
Speaking of symbolism, too, I mean, that's a symbolic moment right there. Like, Crixus defying Doctore to
that
level.
I mean, that's huge. You know?
Exactly. And they have a nice moment.
And then
at that point,
isn't that when Crixus just starts screaming, like,
yeah, he's the first one that says, kill them all.
Kill them all, baby.
Aggron and Duro just look at each other and go, ah!
So this, like Spartacus says, in one way or another, the gladiators are going to seize the moment. Luckily, though, it didn't mean that Crixus was dead and there was only one champion, but there was one champion remaining on the Ludus, and they already had half of the Ludus on Spartacus' side. The other half realized what was going on, and they joined. So all the gladiators are in team, you know, let's kill the masters.
Except for Doctore, right now. Right at this moment, Doctore is still resisting.
Yeah.
He's stopping some of the gladiators from killing the guards.
He needs to have his talk with Crixus first.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, Doctore is the only obstacle. But at this point, Spartacus is already on the rails up top.
His kill count is like at least 12.
He's
at this
murdering
point.
All these guards. He's pushing them off the cliff. We get another cool cliff scene.
Yeah.
Doro finds the set of keys, right?
They start
locking their chains.
Yeah, and then he gets killed. But I just want to say,
I just want to say too.
I'm pretty sure, Brian, me and you were wrong on every prediction on who dies and who stays alive.
Because we
said,
we'll get to that.
I'm just talking about this part because we said we thought Aggron would die and Duro would stay alive for character development on Duro. But what happens is they get the keys, they finally unlock themselves, and Duro gets killed, and Aggron just freaks out.
Yeah. You see, like, all in the background, like, guards are fighting gladiators. They're both taking casualties on both sides. And then this is when we have the Animaeus and Crixus.
Right.
Yeah, that happens before.
Right.
The death.
Yeah.
Because he looks at him and just screams, "What is the meaning of this?"
Right.
Where's Batman?
Grixis.
What is the meaning of this madness? And they kind of, they converse, and Crixus tells Doctore that Battius ordered Sura's death.
Battius. We're this far again, you're going to say Battius.
Battius. Excuse me. Someone take it from here. I'm done. I'm off the pod.
No, but that was like a huge moment for Animaeus, Doctore, when Crixus did start dropping the knowledge that Battius was the direct reason that Sura died in Spartacus's hands. So, yeah. There's something was going on behind Doctore's head right there, and like Crixus, like there was just like a moment where he's like, I got to fight for the right side. And
yeah, because we were talking about the scene with Barca, Doctore asking about Barca. Now, if you think about it, Doctore and Battius, I'm just gonna guess I have been together for a long time, so I feel like even though Doctore knows who Battius is, he still has to have some kind of respect for him. So when Battius says, "Oh well, I had to do it because Barca, murdered everyone and I told him not to," maybe Doctore had to just take that as it was. But then as soon as he starts hearing, "Okay, Battius ordered Sura dead. Battius has me poisoned," meaning Crixus poisoned in this fight. Doctore is like, "All right,
Yeah, and then another part of it was like, Doctore literally says to Crixus, like, "I gave my whole life to this place,"
right.
And then Crixus like chirps back saying, like, "No, they took it from you."
Right.
So like all these questions, like him even, like if Crixus didn't change sides, like I don't know if Doctore would have. Like,
no,
he,
I don't
he
think
needed
so.
this.
Well, that's the thing because there's
push. His whole world. Just
yeah,
got
I mean, because
down.
Doctore thinks at this moment he's going to be the Lannista and Crixus will be his champion, his honorable champion. I mean, he pretty much has been saying this whole, he's been respectful to Spartacus, but I mean, this whole time he's always been on Crixus's side and said Spartacus pretty much isn't an honorable gladiator.
Yep.
So without Crixus turning, Doctore would have been on the other side, and I don't know what would have happened, man.
I mean, you can see just the pain on Doctore's face as all this is happening. Because like Luke said, he put his entire life towards this Ludus and building it up. And he said earlier in the episode when he was talking to Crixus when he was released from the chains, he said, "Join me, become my champion, and together we will restore honor to this house."
Right.
So this dream of Doctore's, Animaeus, is just like shattering right in front of his eyes as he's watching this.
He doesn't deserve that, man.
No. But he does say to Crixus at that scene, he's like, "Put your trust in me and, we can restore the house to honor."
Right.
Now, this is where Crixus comes back and he says, "You once told me to put my faith in you. I ask you to do the same. Spartacus shows us the way."
Cue badass knife throw.
Mm.
Oh my god, slow motion.
Yeah.
Crixus fucking matrix, like, kind of backs out of the way and it just crushes the Roman guard that's coming for them. So epic, man.
That was a nice kill for Doctore.
Goddamn, Trent. I can't stop smiling just thinking about
that
this
guard
scene.
Too was the guard with the scar over his eye who was just kind of like running around.
With the burn on his face?
No.
I was going to say Hector's dead. All right.
This guy with a scar across one of his eyes was like the first one that Spartacus fought when Glaber was there watching.
Okay.
He stuck around and
to get him
they showed him. Him. Yeah, they showed him killing.
Did Spartacus give him that scar?
No.
Oh, he had it.
He
in
always
the
had.
Okay,
I guess they were like, how do we make him
that
recognizable?
That would have been pretty epic.
Yeah.
Anyway, Doctore turns around after the interaction with Crixus. And who does he see but Asher limping away after getting dragged out onto the Ludus? And he just sees him for now, the scene where they confront each other later. But
because it's starting to die down, like, pretty much all the gladiators, they took a couple casualties, but pretty much all the guards have been wiped out on the Ludus grounds, obviously, except for the one that ends up, we kind of already covered it a little bit, the one that ends up killing
Duro. And that actually happens right now, Agron and Duro.
Yeah, right.
I think Duro actually kills two gladiators that are advancing on Agron, and then they kind of embrace each other. They're happy that they seemingly both survived that first, wave of chaos, and then a Roman starts to charge on them, kind of hugging it out. and Duro sees it, pushes Aggron out of the way, and takes a sword to the chest, and that one hurt.
Yeah. He says something along the lines of, this time I saved you, brother.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then he kind of just, like, slowly passes.
It was a good death.
And Aggron gives a fucking scream that's one of like,
the. I could feel the pain in that one. Yeah. That was a great scream.
That was good acting.
But hold on, we did miss a small scene a little bit earlier after Spartacus initially did the shield jump.
Okay.
There's like a quick little interaction between Lucretia and Alethea where she basically just says to Lucretia just says to Alethea, like, go get your guards, like, we gotta make sure we get all this was under control. And like in the back of Alethea's head, she was thinking like, I don't care what happens to you guys. She had like a little smile, right? And like she kind of goes off.
Lucretia is still just being so mean to her as if she's still in control of everything. And it's not going to work. Alethea just says to her with a smirk on her face, I'll make sure that you're properly attended. And kind of like slinks away.
No.
Gives her that kiss.
Yeah, Jimmy kiss. Knows.
I'm sorry.
Just like Paul
I'm
says,
sorry.
Right on the lips, says F you and walks away.
Yeah, it's a big slap in the face.
Absolutely, and I kind of want to touch on this. Lucretia, I think Badiatis and Lucretia are both kind of on that cloud nine thing where they're underestimating and not paying attention to things that require their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Badiatis, the gladiators, and Lucretia, this Alethea situation. They're both underestimating these forces, and it's going to bite them in the ass.
Well, see, I kind of don't agree with the Lucretia thing, because if Spartacus didn't, and Crixus didn't join together to do that shield jump, like, they would have had it, like, Lucretia and Badiatis would have had it under control, and, like, she still would have been under their thumb. This chaos gave Alethea the out to actually, like, you know, not have to be Lucretia's bitch.
Fair enough, but when the chaos started, Lucretia was still trying to
go around
as though Alethea was
agree.
Her bitch, in which case I think she should have played the friend card and been like, Alethea, me and you need to get out of here
right,
to safety.
Right.
How about
of my child?
Exactly.
How about Badiatis though coming into the Ludus right after this happened? People are flooding in, screaming, and he goes, "People, calm down.
It's all good.
Everything is under control." And he's smiling while he has Sextus's blood just covering his face. Trying to act calm.
And right after he says that, Mira comes into the shot, followed by, obviously she's coming from the open gate,
right,
followed by just gladiators storming into the room, at which case Badiatis.
Isn't Crixus one of the first ones?
Motherfucker,
holy shit.
That is the last thing you want to see if you're trying to live.
Like, what a fucking adrenaline rush. Like, what a feeling that must have been.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not real people, but what a feeling that must have been to just storm up their steps and get into the villa and just wreak.
That's exactly
havoc.
How it happened back in the day, bro.
And right away, man, like the gladiators are just, they don't care who you are. If you're not a slave, they're just taking a sword to your back or chest.
Right.
They're just slicing everywhere. We get like that cheesy little blood effect that Spartacus is famous for, which is awesome. You know, like the pools that are filled with the water from Spartacus, Bringer of Rain, are starting to turn pure red now.
Right,
just
right.
Like all these nobles dying.
So, following Alethea, though, she is one of the first ones out of that main room in the villa, is the first to the main exit, and commands the Roman guards that are there to seal the door behind her, which doesn't give anybody a chance to escape. So,
right.
Alethea is actually helping out Spartacus and company, but the guards question her, and she says, I am the wife of the Legatus. You will do as I command. So, she gets away. And leaves everybody else to die.
As the doors are closing, like, you see another note. You see Numerius's
mom.
I forget her name. Numerius's mom running for the door. She's like, hold the door. And you just see Alethea
hold the door.
Just like, yeah.
Oh, my God. You bastard.
That was good. But you just see kind of Alethea turn her head and just start smiling a little bit, and they just lock off that door.
I could have swore that it was Numerius's mother that went there first, but then she's in the next scene again. So I don't. I'm gonna
really,
have to go
that's
back.
Interesting.
I'm gonna have to go back and because,
like,
an,
after
yeah,
the door gets
in
shut,
front of him
yeah,
Numerius.
Yeah, you're right. Because after the door gets shut, you see all the noblemen that were at the door. Their blood just starts kind of like slowly creeping out to the door. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I swear the first actress there looks exactly like Numerius' wife.
Yeah, sounds right.
But no, yeah, Numerius, his mom. I can never remember her name. And Lucretia and Badiatis are kind of figuring out what to do. And that's when, I'm pretty sure it's Raskos, comes up and stabs Numerius's mother. And Badiatis picks up a sword and once again, it blows me away and impresses me with his like random skills.
He's been around his whole life, though. That's the only thing that's like, I don't want to give him like any, you know, extra
props.
Yeah, because it's like he's been living around it his whole life.
Yeah, but
he should at least know how to handle a sword.
Yeah, you don't see him practicing or anything though. I don't know. I thought it was impressive.
So before that scene, we actually get the Doctore and Asher scene.
Yeah,
no, I think that's okay. Right after the doors are sealed, we get that scene.
Yeah,
and Doctore confronts him for everything. He said, "What did I tell you in this room about Barca? I said that if there was anything more to Barca's freedom or his disappearance, then you and I would exchange words." Asher tries to say something. Doctore says, "Don't you fucking speak, bro. We're having it out."
Yeah, Asher's like, you wouldn't kill a defenseless man. Oh. To which Animaeus just chucks someone. And what's he say? He's like, "Let's see if you can recall what I taught you."
Hell yeah.
When you were yet a man.
Oh, my God.
Can't wait for that part.
I know I asked Jimmy about this as we were watching or right after, but Brian, I guess I'll throw it over to you. Did you think that it was just signed, sealed, delivered that Asher was going to die in the scene right when that Animaeus walked in the beginning?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I'm looking at this right now. This is so funny. The script of the episode, after Doctore drops that quote, just like one of the little things, like the little cues for the actors, it says, like, to Asher, his balls in his throat.
Damn right.
Dude, he was so scared. Yeah,
that's the Doctore effect.
Yeah.
I definitely thought he was dying.
He was dead because they hype up Doctore so much. And if you're in a closed room with Doctore who has intent to kill, you're not supposed to make it out of that room.
I mean, I've been waiting this whole season to see Doctore fight without the whip and with a real weapon, you know? I mean, I guess he can make the whip a real weapon.
Well, he did have the epic fight when he was just in the Theocles episode when he was crushing Crixus and
with the double swords.
That was amazing.
That's true.
Pathetic.
Yeah, he just was crushing. Yeah. One of the best scenes of the series.
But Asher's acting, like, I 100%, the first time I was watching it, thought he was going to die. Because he was given the whole, like, I'm about to die speech.
Yeah.
He was given the whole spiel. He was crying. And I was like,
he does a lot of things that lead you to believe he's accepting his fate. He asks him, "Can you give me this parting gift to let me die as a gladiator?" And he kind of assumes the beheading position. And Doctore, squares up to give him
to give him the Varro death.
So something I need to mention before we get off this is the great quote that Asher has, like, on his knees before he accepts death, when he's lashing out. And he's, like, pointing around, and he's like, "Every stone, every beam in this villa bears the mark of Asher!" And he fucking points at his chest and shit. I love that.
Yeah. And Doctore is, like, disgusted.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, he says to him, like, you have dishonored or betrayed your brothers and gladiators. To which Asher responds, like, "I betrayed you guys. When did you guys ever give a shit about me? Like, when have you guys ever shown Asher any respect?"
Yeah.
There's no time for feelings in this, Ludus, man.
Well, that little line is cool because in season, you know, they do show you, like, all throughout season one, how he's just disrespected. But just cool little remember that line.
Yeah.
And another, right before he actually takes the position of where Doctore is going to execute him like a gladiator, there's, like, this great little moment where Asher just, like, his actor just, like, did it for me so much when he just, like, looks at Doctore and he's, like, begging him to kill him like a gladiator. Like, he's like, "Doctore, like, please." Like,
I thought that was
so
it.
So good, man. And it did feel like his whole arc was complete. Like, I probably, my first time watching it, I probably thought that was, like, going to be the most satisfying death ever. Like, we were good.
I mean, because, I mean, you would think, like, we said it a couple episodes ago that I was surprised that he even tried to get back to being a gladiator, and he expressed how much he wanted to be a gladiator and how much he loved it. So I was like ready to see the death, man. I thought that was the end of his arc, like you would say, you know, give me the gladiator's death finally, you know. But
it might have happened too if Doctore just was standing in front of him instead of behind him.
Nah, he was scheming, dude. He had that.
I don't even know, because he played it. He sold the part so well he was ready to die. I think he. I don't know if that was always part of his plan. Maybe that's why he said, "Give me the gladiators." You know, he knew Dr. Abe would get behind
that,
him. And
that thing
him a
he
chance.
Stabs him with on the ground, I believe he was trying to fight with it earlier too. So he knew it was there. It gets knocked out of his hand, right? Mm.
Yeah. When he first walks in the room, he's like looking for shit.
Yeah,
and there's like a pile of them.
Right.
Like,
oh. Yeah.
And those he just like razors. What he gets. He as Dr. Abe is going in for the kill shot. He gets him right, like, in the thigh or something, right?
Yeah,
like,
he just spins and gets him in the leg.
Enough, so which Dr. goes, Asher!
And he goes, that didn't hurt, bro.
He runs out into the ludus and hides amongst the dead bodies. Dr. walks right past him, so it's assumed that Asher is safe for the time being.
Another wrong prediction for me and Brian.
yeah,
you both thought Asher was not making it out of this episode, and I'm sure you're happy a little bit about it, right, Brian? You
get
a
Asher, bit more... Asher may be the best actor on the show.
John Hannah's Badiatis is up there.
I would say those two. Lucretia's great.
The show
I
is
probably
good.
Come on.
Andy 100% too. Oh, yeah. But
the show is just so good at making villains hateable, and not in like a fuck you way, more in like a you love
you respect,
to hate them kind
yeah,
of way.
You respect how awful they are.
Like, a little bit like how Game of Thrones was doing it, you know, also, Glaber gets thrown in there, like, while he's a piece of shit and, like, whatever about his acting, he's, like, the most I enjoy hating Glaber more than almost anybody.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
They're not just, like, pure evil to be pure evil. Yeah. And, like, that's, like, their thing. Like,
except maybe Glaber.
But they have, like, objectives to hit and things like that, that at least, I mean, humanize them in a little way.
Right. I mean, there's Glaber, plenty of villains in television where it's just, like, okay, you're a villain, whatever. But all these villains are just awesome. They have their own thing, and they're just all great with their acting. Great show.
I will say that I did just kind of hope that, like, how long do you think this, like, murder was going on inside? Like, because it felt like it was pretty fast, but it couldn't have been because the sun was up when Spartacus was shield jumping. But I'm pretty sure it's isn't it dark outside when Asher's hiding under the dead bodies of the of
the
Roman guards.
The sun was setting though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe an hour or so.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean,
longer than the show itself was physically going on.
Probably.
More time was passing. Okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we move on, we get back to the villa, and I think we kind of jumped out of order. But
yeah. This is the part I was talking about.
It's fine, but we already covered it. It's where Badiatis manages to kill a gladiator who had just killed Numerius's mom. He tells the others, who at this point are Lucretia, Numerius, and Aurelia.
Yep.
I'm not sure if there are any others. He says, go on ahead, get to safety, I'll confront the gladiators, hold them off somehow, some way. And as we follow Lucretia...
Let me stop you real quick, because why would you even trust Aurelia at this point? Aren't you... It's slaves versus not slaves at this... Like... I wouldn't trust anybody.
I guess at this point, she's just like a little like wounded bird that's like, they're just saying, get these people. Like, because he's really talking to Lucretia saying, get Numerius out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, he needs Numerius too, you know, because of his plan, you know, to take advantage of Numerius. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. That is weird. I mean,
that whole like 20 seconds is weird because Badiatis tells Lucretia and them, you know, go. I'll, like, try to take care of this and keep him out, which, again, Badiatis, respect for, you know, standing up there. But literally right after they changed, like, into the next hallway, Lucretia's like, oh, like, go hide Numerius somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, I have to go, like, find my husband. It's like, why don't you just stay with him then?
Yeah. Well, she had a change of heart. She needs to go kill Spartacus.
About Badiatis, she was talking about Crixus.
Yeah, which I was going to say, which is crazy because she says, I'm going back to my husband. And then the next scene you see her is with Crixus.
Right. And then Crixus is saying, you know...
There ain't much to be said.
Yeah, where's Navia, pretty much.
This scene was honestly, like, so goddamn satisfying to me. All these scenes have...
Yeah.
Like, this episode, while, like, you know, it has some of the... Probably the best scenes in the series. It might not be, you know, like, whatever you're going to say about this episode, you cannot deny that the most satisfying things that ever happened in Spartacus, like, four of them, the top five happened in the last, like, half hour.
Yeah, and me and Brian take another L here where, you know, she tells Crixus this is their child, you know, and she's still trying to get him on her side.
Crazy,
and he says, I would rather see the child dead than know it suckled on your breasts. And then
slowly slips that blade right in.
I think I cringe the most at that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to keep saying Game of Thrones, but it reminds me of, like, with Robb Stark's wife, yeah, when it's just like the baby thing. I don't like that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he kills the baby. He just puts the sword right through the belly.
he
doesn't bother me.
Yeah, he just stabs her right in the gut. It's
so
satisfying.
To throw back to two Spartacus podcasts ago when I asked you guys if that baby was Crixus or Body Goddess.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
Nah, it didn't matter.
Never fucking
didn't
know.
Matter.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And we'll talk about this at the end, I guess. But I thought she was living too. I thought somehow. I mean, when shit started going down, I was like, how are they going to get out? You know, but episode 12 going into 13, I assumed that she was going to make it.
Badiatis says that he knows it's like the blood of a champ. Or does Lucretia mention?
Lucretia says it's a Crixus,
yeah. But that baby's 0-1.
Yeah, he just lost.
Yeah, some champion that is.
The defeated goal.
Yeah.
Actually, funny enough, have we heard his new nickname? Because in the beginning of the episode, when they're introducing the fight, they call him the Savage Gaul. No longer.
Oh, really?
He's the Savage
Gaul.
I forgot to mention that. But
that's
he is now the Savage Gaul.
And Luke does call him a savage in literally episode one of our podcast. He goes, Crixus comes in, he's a savage.
Yep, there you go.
Spoilers, we didn't even
Spartacus
know.
Spartacus mentions at some point, like, it's time to give him a new nickname or
something.
Yeah,
right. That was what we talked about, mm-hmm, I think, last episode. He's talking to Varro when they were pissing off the
cross
cliff.
The streams.
Oh,
throwing it
God,
up.
Brothers.
So Crixus backs away, gives her a final look of disapproving. Just, you suck, Lucretia. And he just high steps it out of there. Next scene we get is Aurelia, who is now one-on-one with Numerius.
Yep.
What a match made in heaven in the chaos that is ensuing in the villa, that these two are to be fated with each other.
This is a very sad scene.
And
no,
this is an awesome scene.
Another scene that I wasn't expecting, and like you're saying, Luke, the satisfaction.
That's exactly
like,
what
I would never
say.
Expect Aurelia to be the one to kill Numerius. Like,
I mean, I'm sure you guys all agree with me, but I hate Aurelia's character so much. But like, this scene alone was like, it was just good. It was awesome. I loved it. It felt like she should have been the one to finally like redeem, or I guess venge, get revenge for Varro.
And I'll tell you what, if Numerius could have had a script written in front of him for the things that he should not say if he wanted to live, he said them.
Yeah, exactly.
Said, is it true that you were the one that sentenced Varro to die? And he said, yeah, it was me. That dude deserved to die because he was absolutely nothing. That was way too much, Numerius. You didn't know the guy. Reel it in a little bit, champ.
As everyone's getting slaughtered, he's just out here dishing dirt on Varro's name.
Yeah, still this little kid still acting like he's above everyone. Like, Aurelia takes him down.
And I think when we were watching it live, Kyle, didn't you bring up the I think what you said was like, because Aurelia starts like saying like, Jesus Christ, like he was like a father, blah blah blah. You want to finish that? Do you know what I'm leaning? Okay, so he was like, Aurelia was walking towards Numerius, and Numerius was like kind of like looking at her, and he was so like horny that he didn't know that this was like gonna be.
She grabs the knife, and it's like very
obvious.
She's
literally like
his face.
She's got a tear in her eye while she's saying like all the good things Varro's done for the child, like telling stories.
My guy is just see her rock hard looking at her.
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't
like,
hear
defense.
What she's saying at all.
Numerius has gotten some tail in the house of Badiatis before.
He's like,
so
no,
he thought
it's happening again.
He's like, is this really happening right now? Let's go.
First,
you
want to
do it right here. Okay.
I mean, fuck it.
Yeah, instead he gets repeatedly stabbed in the jugular.
That was so many stabs. So,
yeah. Well, that she was like hysterical. She was just taking
that's
it
why
out.
It's
and
sad.
Spartacus
yeah.
rolls
no,
up
that's
and just kind of like
satisfying, not sad.
Okay, it could be both.
That's yeah, I agree.
It's sad is fine.
Yeah.
With a D.
I agree.
Coined the term copyright.
Boo.
Yeah,
right,
she
here
has
in the basement.
Aurelia has that great line. You know, well, what is it? It's Varro wasn't much.
Yeah,
but
pretty,
he
wasn't perfect. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He was mine.
Yeah,
he wasn't a perfect man, but he was mine.
Yeah.
And Spartacus.
Nice little subtle callback to, well, I don't know who says it exactly, but they say it to Spartacus, I guess, like he died a gladiator, or he'll remember it as a gladiator. And Spartacus says he'll remember it as a husband,
right,
remember it as a father.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
All right, like, are we ready to to move on to the big finale.
Yeah, Spartacus runs in as Aurelia's stabbing Numerius a bunch and tries to console her and comfort her. And then Doctore comes in and says, how many more must die? Like, hasn't enough blood been spilt? Which Spartacus says, I will see but one.
And this is when, you know, Doctore gives him the look, and we know that Doctore is a boy on his
side.
He's
not going to stand in his way.
And, Paul, after that, I would see but one line. The next shot is Badiatis, who is, like, cornered in the villa. He has a sword, and he's surrounded by, like, five gladiators.
Yeah,
so
and the gladiators aren't attacking.
He's toast.
How hilarious would it have been if just, like, in that moment before Spartacus even gets there, like, one of them just... kills Badiatis.
Oh, is this not okay? Oh, yeah. I thought this was okay.
Now all of a sudden, Spark is killing all the gladiators.
He's like, what the fuck, man?
But no, it's not what happened.
But this is, this scene is crazy. And I don't know who wants to take it, but, I mean, pretty much he starts giving the lines. He puts himself in. Well, Lucretia walks in. That's the first thing that happens.
Right.
And she's saying Badiatis. She's holding her stomach. She's bleeding. You know, so she didn't actually die right at that scene. But she falls to the ground. Spartacus gets in the middle of her and Badiatis, and he says, what would you do to hold your wife again? To feel the warmth of her skin, the taste of her lips? How many men would you kill? 100? 1,000? There stands but one between you and her.
Dude, so cool. When he says, like, 100? 1,000? He lifts his arms around. Yeah. He's like, what would you do, man? This is what I would do to get revenge for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so good.
And he says something, and you guys can fix the quote for me if you remember, but this is a line that Badiatis says to Lucretia at one point, where he says the gods themselves wouldn't keep us away. Or no, Spartacus says it to Sura, the gods themselves wouldn't keep me away from you. And he says that to Badiatis, you know, about him and Lucretia, and then Badiatis goes for the attack.
I also want to point out, though, that this whole time, like, I guess I didn't notice when I was watching it, I didn't notice it explicitly until this moment, but, like, Spartacus is just rocking the champion's belt.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know,
like
the WWE thing.
Yeah.
It's so cool because it's just, like, so ironic. He's rocking the champion of House Badiatis belt right as he's, like, staring Badiatis down the edge of his sword while he's in between Lucretia, and it's just, like, it's just so poetic.
One other cool little fact on that moment is that where they're standing, that's the little pool area where Barca was executed and where Spartacus showed Glaber how much of a man he is by beating up all of Glaber's soldiers. So that own little pedestal, that little platform, has had so many key moments. Like, of course it's going to end here.
I think that's also where Alethea murders Licinia, right? Isn't it, like, right next to that? She starts shoving her,
like,
face
overlooking
into the...
it.
Yeah.
So Badiatis, he goes to attack Spartacus, and he's easily defeated. And this is where he says, go to her and tell her that the gods themselves cannot keep her from your arms. And then he punches him again. He tells him to lie to her as he lied to Spartacus about his wife. Oh, man.
He drops his sword, I think.
Yeah. He also begs for Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, Animaeus! Like, he's freaking out.
And never noticed this, but now I'm looking at it. Apparently that's the first time that the gladiators ever hear Animaeus.
Okay. Makes sense.
It makes sense. Something I never really considered or thought of. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and we never find out Spartacus' name.
No, we don't. We absolutely do not. But, all right, so let's...
I like the tone of that
It's cool, because, like, three times, at least, throughout this season, like, it gets, like, a second away from being said, like, whether it was Sura or Spartacus himself saying it, like, he's just, you know...
It's probably Jimmy.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be one of the newbies that takes the
I'll
break it down. So Badiatis kind of looks around, realizes the hopelessness of his situation. He's got no chance to escape, throws his sword down into the water and says, you know, directly addressing Spartacus here, you were nothing before me. I gave you everything. I gave you the means to accept your fate. Spartacus replies, and now you are destroyed by it. He does a sweet just a spinning slash.
Oh,
just
God, man.
What you called it before in the Crixus Pericles fight, a spinning slice of dice.
I did call it that. Thank you very much. A spinning slice of dice.
Another moment where we all screamed at that point. Like,
yeah.
He hit him. He sliced him so nice, so smoothly. It turns Badiatis's, like, back to Spartacus, and he kind of just, like, falls and starts reaching out towards Lucretia, who's bleeding out in the middle of the floor.
And Brian, Bodiatus is your little finger. Seems like a similar death.
I was just about to say, the parallels between Littlefinger and Bodiatus are keeping up until the end.
Yep.
They both got a sword to the neck. Well, a dagger to the neck.
I can't remember. Did you guys say Bodiatus was going to live?
Another L.
Are you wrong again?
I said Homeboy was going to live, yeah.
My God. I literally don't think we got any of them right.
That's a sign of a good show, though. If they're hitting you with unexpected deaths.
Am I wrong? But like, I just keep when I think of the scene where Bodiatus is falling and reaching towards Lucretia, and he's like dead, like he's but she's still alive. Like her fingers are like wiggling towards. It kind of looks a little bit of like the Sistine Chapel, you know, like the finger to finger. I don't know if there's any symbolism there. Maybe I'm
definitely
just seeing things,
bit.
But I just thought that was cool.
Reminded me of it as a slow pan towards the ceiling. Kinda happens and it pans out and you just see like how much blood is actually in the pool now.
Jesus, man, was that satisfying? As I've been saying all episode, this was just—it was so satisfying.
There's one last scene though, right?
Yes.
Andy Whitfield's final lines.
Oh fuck!
Sorry.
All right, let's cut it here. We're done.
No, absolutely not. We must trudge on. Wow, that sucked that I said that. So Spartacus has a speech. Does anybody have the quote in front of him?
He says, "I have done this thing because it is just." And then he says, he declares to all the slaves, the gladiators, all of them, he says, you're now free. You're now free to forge your own path, or you can join me. And if you do join me, together we shall see Rome tremble.
Oh, my God.
Which is sweet.
Everyone's freaking out. You see Aggron's getting hyped. Like, he's going to be a homie. Like, you just see all this, like, energy coming out of him. And then they go to the Ludus Gate.
Yeah.
And we get the last scene we'll ever get of Andy Whitfield. Like, the door's open. Crixus is running out first, of course. Like all the gladiators that are badass with their weapons just leaving House Bodiatus, and then you just see Spartacus like take a step out, and it does the classic like cartoonizes him real quick into the clap.
Yeah. R.I.P. Awesome.
What a season, man.
Ugh. What a great binge list. First TV show to pick for this series, man.
It was a good one for us to just test this format because it was not only just like incredibly fun. It was like three of the people that have seen the show were just like super passionate about it. We knew you guys were gonna like this show.
And then shout out to the Reddit community making everything pop.
Yeah, you guys have made everything so fun with all your comments, all the love. You know, that's why, you know, literally, like, if we didn't have your responses, it wouldn't have been as fun to do, you know?
No, we'd keep doing it, but we'd have no clue if anybody cared.
Yeah. Part of the original idea was that some shows that are older, that some of us have seen, some of us haven't, and
right.
the ones who have seen have been badgering the others for years for a reason, and then there's kind of not a bunch of content out about it,
mm-hmm.
and everybody who's equally passionate like us, obviously around the world, is now thinking, oh my God, yes, look at this new Spartacus podcast.
Yeah.
We're all in the brotherhood now.
Yeah. All right, but okay, now that we're done, I want a round table. Give me a hard Rotten Tomatoes percentage of this season of what you would...
Oh, shit.
Gut reaction. What are you giving it?
So Rotten Tomatoes for TV shows goes by episode, so we can say that episode one was like in the 30s.
In the 30s? Whoa. Maybe,
that's low.
I'd say 50s. It's around 50 or so.
I don't know. Fine, I'll go 50. Now, I would say overall, man, it was good, dude.
It was good, right?
High 80s, low 90s, I would say, probably.
I wasn't going to give it more than a 95, no less than a 90.
Yeah.
So
fuck
it's right
yes, I'll take
spot.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're, like, Rotten Tomatoes is tough because it depends on the amount of people that are actually voting. But, like, you see, like, certain shows that are, you know, there's a top tier that are in the, top 90s and... Spartacus is pretty, you know, I freaking loved it, man. It was entertaining. It was the acting was good. It's up there.
The choreography of the fights, like the sound team of Spartacus was so good. It was just, I loved it, man. One of the best things about it is just how likable the non-main characters are. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can just feel our energy just gushing over Detective Doctore whenever we talk about him. Like,
right.
he was just such an epic character. Crixus completely grew into his own and becoming the best, like, bromance for Spartacus.
Plus, I mean, guy gets pussy.
He does. Now, so we got a couple cliffhangers here. We don't know what happened to Navia.
Right.
God, everyone died.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to Asher.
Does he get away? I mean, he gets up. He probably should have never gotten up because
yeah, that was too early. I was thinking that same thing. All right, so the people that we have left, start naming names if I get them wrong. But I have us marked down as the people that are alive right now. Obviously, Spartacus, Asher, we just talked about, Navia, and Crixus, of course. Aggron's going to be Team Spartacus. Aurelia, we see, escapes as well.
Mira,
Doctore, and then Glaber. Who else? Is there anybody else that we know that's named that's alive?
Alithia.
And Alithia, you're right.
Yeah.
Big miss.
So that's another cliffhanger. How she'll be. And obviously Glaber.
And
you guys
all said Alithia was going to die, right? You guys
I believe.
We thought she was going to live because she has the Magistrate and the Glaber
connection.
I think one of us said
she's going to die, but then we backtracked, I believe.
It made sense for the series.
Give us a W, dude. Jesus.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But I will say, though, now that we're finished the first season, you guys know who is still alive. The big actor change is obviously going to be we lose Andy as Spartacus.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's pretty much accepted in the community. It's a little bit of a downgrade. What's his name? Liam McIntyre. He's not bad. Like, he's good. It's just he's no Andy.
Right.
But then I absolutely hate the change of Navia's actress.
Okay.
She becomes like, maybe this isn't the narrative in the community, but I think like, she just becomes one of my least favorite characters. And I thought, like, after rewatching and us podcasting about it, like, there was a lot more moments where I thought, like, Navia's actor in this season was, like, really good.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, I really liked her this whole season.
She's beautiful, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Downgrade all around for the next Navia.
She was definitely very good. And I was on the Spartacus Reddit, and I did see there was a little thread about the new actress for Navia, and you're 100%.
People
right,
agree or...
Luke. Okay. People agree. People hate her. Yeah. She's just her acting is just way worse.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to get too into it now. I don't know if that's the storyline because I hate her storyline a little bit too. But like the actor, I don't know. I don't know if it was the actual acting abilities or the storyline. That's just, you know.
Yeah. So that actress, Navia's original actress, apparently the rumor was that she was difficult to work with, but it was more about the nudity scenes, if I'm correct.
About banging Crixus?
I read that during Andy's hiatus, she was asking for more money, too, and they didn't agree.
Gotcha.
Something like that.
There was a falling out there.
We're news reporters now from 11 years ago or something.
Yeah, seriously.
Andy Whitfield. Andy Whitfield, for those of you who don't know, the original Spartacus, he actually, you know, unfortunately, he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and passed away at 39. So, a little appreciation to Andy Whitfield.
He actually passed away on the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, like that day itself.
Wow.
I think it was because he beat the whole thing was like they were gonna kind of delay and make this prequel season to give Andy some time to recover, which I think he had a full recovery. But then the issue was, like, it came back right as they were gearing up to film the next season. And when it came back, it was just, like, in and out, gone, you know.
Wow,
and there's a Netflix, I don't know the name off the top of my head, but there's a Netflix documentary that Andy and Andy's wife gave the okay. So, like, there was a lot of filming that he allowed while, like, he was, like, on his deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, it was something about, like, Appreciate Life or something. So I kind of forget the name. But for any fans out there that want to get the full story, like, that's on Netflix. Just search Andy Whitfield. It's Andy Whitfield something. So that's just, you know,
appreciation to him because he was made for this role.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
And actually, I read, too, that they were going to just cancel Spartacus, and he said it deserves to be finished, so he gave the okay to just recast.
Because I was just like looking up random facts about Spartacus recently, and like some of the things I did see were that Spartacus actually got greenlit for a season 2 before the pilot even aired because like they were so confident it was going to be awesome.
Right.
Starz, the company that produced the show, was pretty much like on the verge of becoming bankrupt, and like, after Spartacus season 1 broke every single record Starz had. Starz previously had a highest viewing record of, sorry, I have it right here, of 165,000, and this first season of Spartacus had 661,000. Literally,
let's
it's,
go!
It saved Starz Studio and made it like possible for it to be around today. Yeah.
Tell your friends. Tell them to watch it if they never watched.
I did not know
And
that.
Listen to this podcast.
Yeah, and then point to the podcast to follow along with.
Yeah, man. So, like, I'm not sure what the narrative about the whole series is, but, like, everyone that's seen season one and season two of Spartacus has loved it. For the most part, I'm pretty sure everyone loves the ending of the series itself. It gets a little rough in season three and four compared to season one and the prequel season two.
Absolutely.
And I think we can confirm right now we are going to do the prequel for the podcast.
100%. 100%. We're doing Gods of the Arena.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
And Paul, I know you had something you wanted to end with, too.
Yeah, so we finished Spartacus, Blood and Sand. So we're going to do a couple top threes. So first thing is, what is your top three favorite moments of season one?
And specify if they're in order.
Oh, my gosh.
If you want, and if there's ties.
I have mine in order.
Go ahead.
I have them right here.
New guys.
I can read them for
first.
You. So, the first one here is the jump. Just this episode.
The shield jump, baby.
That is, yeah, the shield
this
jump.
This moments, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Shield jump into the balcony. It's amazing. They're
oh, yeah.
going for it. Balls to the wall. This is it. This is it. This is the escape.
I mean,
this
the tap
is, this
on the
is
shield.
The birth of
yeah,
the actual
drum.
This is the birth of the actual legend of Spartacus, because he's known now as the leader of the slave revolt, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right. So this is, and it's awesome. And, you know, he finally gets his chance to, you know, get revenge on Badiatis, which he eventually does not here. But the jump is just so perfect. What a way to do it. The jump. number two. I have the moment in the Theocles fight where Spartacus, Crixus is knocked out and he's about to get killed by Theocles, and you just pan to Spartacus and he says, Theocles!
Yes.
And then he does another shield jump, actually.
Yes.
So the jump. Another, yeah, the first shield jump. Lots of jumps.
No, I gushed
Once
over
again,
that moment
Crixus
as well.
Gives him no help.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's half dead, dude.
and I actually have... This is number three. I'm going to lump it all in together. The reveal of Badiatis' plot against Salonius, where he's caught red-handed in the sewer. And I'm going to lump that together with Salonius' death scene in the arena.
Okay.
With him and Spartacus' exchange. I just love him. Once he knows that Spartacus is going to kill Badiatis, how he just smiles and accepts it and says, I'm ready to go, as long as you're taken out.
Isn't it weird when you just look back on you? I didn't even notice in the moment when I was originally watching it, but when you look back on it, it's like, I kind of liked Salonius. Like, especially after you bringing that back up, it's just like, he had a good ending. Like, he got his revenge on Badiatis. Like, I just liked Salonius. Salonius was a great piece to the early part of this season, and I just
Definitely.
Thought it was awesome. Yeah.
Jimmy?
So, Brian stole a little bit of my thunder, but I do have one. Number one was the shield jump,
of course.
You know. Number two, I did have... So, I actually wrote down four just because I couldn't help myself, you know. And damn, am I going to actually order them? If we're going to go a little bit different, just to show you guys one more scene. The whole scene with Glaber's men, Spartacus fighting them, and having just the whole scene, you know, where he brings them out. He starts kicking all their asses, and then the death stares.
Dude,
and
the eye
whole
contact. Oh, so good.
You know, that, like, I mean, and then also, like, the fight with Theocles, and I did also have, you know, the whole scene where they find Salonius with the dagger and the magistrate's throat was sliced. I mean, it was just,
You got to give some Asher credit for that scene for both you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My honorable mention was the Crixus and Spartacus bro down.
Okay.
Yeah.
In this episode, I loved that conversation.
I had a fifth, but no, I'm just kidding.
Are you guys doing your top threes too? Cool.
Oh, I was just pointing at myself doing the Asher thing, but I'll go. Sure.
Yeah, you're.
No, nothing special here. I had the shield jump as by far my favorite scene. My second one is again the eye contact scene where Spartacus is just beating everybody up in front of Glaber, and my third one that I just found that I loved a lot more than maybe you guys did, but. When Badiatis, it was in the 12th episode when when Glaber's about to walk out of the Ludus, and Bodyadus just turns him and says, "Do not turn from me," and not only was that like quote delivered so well and stuff, but it's just like the weight of that quote.
Yeah.
Kind of just like, even though Bodyadus is a scumbag, like everything he did, all that maneuvering, all that scumbaggery that got to that point, he honestly deserved a win. Like, yeah. He was like, "Don't you fucking turn from me. Like, I did all of this shit." So I thought that scene was just like epic.
I agree.
Okay.
All right. So obviously we've covered some big guys. I'm going to try to not repeat anything, but I'm going to repeat one. So first one for me, Spartacus brings the rain.
Okay.
He has the Achilles.
Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah, rain starts pouring down. And then, I guess, sign it off that, when he, like, you first see him in his new armor.
Okay.
Badass.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got a tag team on B-Toms with the bro down between Spartacus and Crixus in the final episode. Just very satisfying and very nice to see. And then, since we talked about a little earlier, and I'm a Mira guy, I'll write Spartacus and Mira finally banging.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Okay. Great three. Mine real quick, of course, shield jump, obviously. Then I had Spartacus versus Glaber's men, because that's a great feeling. And then I think it's the end of episode 6. It's right when Spartacus accepts that he is now Spartacus, decapitates the prisoner after the 6v1, and he turns around in the middle of the stadium and goes, "I am Spartacus." It just got—I get chills every time.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And I mean, we gotta just bring up—I did have a fifth one, man. Varro's death scene, man. Mm. I mean, we'll probably get into that in one of the other threes, but I mean, what a good scene. I mean, the guy gave a speech with a sword through his neck, so give him some props, dude.
I was going to say, every time you guys keep bringing up like the bro scene, it makes me sad that my biggest regret of this season, my two biggest regrets of this season are fucking Sura dying, my girl, and then also, of course, Varro dying. Like, I really just wish he was part of the rebellion going forward, because he would have just had so many epic scenes. Like, he would have been boys with Aggron for sure. Like, they were going to be bros, like... And even Crixus, there was going to be some cool stuff there. Like, that's so sad we don't get to see it.
All right. So the next one's going to be top three saddest or most upsetting to you moments.
Well, there you go.
Okay. So I guess I'll start. So my number one was Varro. I mean, that was just heartbreaking, man. Then Sura, when we find that, you know, when she comes out of the back of the wagon and she's dying in his arms, you know, that was a huge turning point, obviously, for Spartacus. And the last one was, you got to give Manu Bennett his props for the Crixus crying scene.
Oh, yeah.
When,
definitely.
You know, when he's just showing all that emotion with, you know, when Navi is in front of him and he says, "I ruined everything." So, I mean, those are...
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Very emotional. I have two overlappings. My number one is the Varro death. My number two is actually the Barca death.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Because he was so close to freedom. He earned it. He did it the right way. He and, you know...
By killing little boys.
He was commanded to do it.
No, I agree. It's just
the pause and lip quiver right there was perfect.
The right way.
He did it
the right way.
I don't have anything different than you guys. I had Sura, Varro, and Barca as my three. Mm.
Did you say your third, Beto?
My third was Crixus and Navia splitting. My honorable mention was Sura.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
Sura was pretty standard. Definitely.
Do you guys have anything different than those three?
No, you named my three.
One, I guess I mentioned it a little earlier in the episode, but I just... Aurelia, like, letting loose all that emotion and killing Nemerius, I thought was a very sad scene.
Yeah.
The second, I mean, like... Watching it again was like, oh my god, like, I mean, because we talk shit because she's anti-Spartacus and it's like, fuck her, but in her shoes, like,
oh my gosh,
her whole world comes crashing down. She's all she knows is that Spartacus kills him, like, she hates him, she gets the truth, she gets finally in a room with this kid and lets out all of that emotion, and like, I don't know, it's Spartacus who calms her down, and then she kind of is under like Doctore's wing after that.
Which I was a little worried that she, I think I even said it live, I was like, I would not get that close to her with a knife if I was Spartacus. Like, she could have easily just, hated him. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kyle's other saddest moments were every time Spartacus turned down Mira.
Bullshit.
I was actually going to to say, top or my third saddest was right when Crixus was about to plow Lucretia, and then she faints because she's pregnant and he gets blue-balled. So sad.
I'll give a quick shout-out to the – it only lasted 10 seconds, the sadness, but when I was actually sad for Asher – when he was, like, begging.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Onimaeus to
That
to
was
kill
really
him.
Good acting.
Like, when he says, like, the please line, I was like, yo, that was that made me sad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Asher does for the rest of the series, but if he doesn't do anything good, then I would have wished he would just die there so we can get that sad scene and let it be the end of his arc. But I guess we'll find out.
Yes, we will. All right, next top three. Top three favorite characters, not including Spartacus, because obviously Spartacus is on all of our top three. So this is characters and not actors and actresses.
Okay.
So that's going to be the next one. These are three of your favorite characters, and the next one's going to be favorite portrait-like roles.
Okay, so I can speak for all of us when we say Doctore number one.
Number one.
Oh, he's okay. my number one.
Top three.
Oh, man.
Finish it out.
Okay, so non-Spartacus, Doctore number one. And we're talking entire season,
yeah,
their
even
arc
if,
throughout the entire. Oh God!
You could say Vara if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think I have to say Bodiatus and Asher.
That's
and I don't even know what two and three like if what's flipped if they're flipped or what. But Vara is up there too. But Bodiatus and Asher,
you
man,
like both them better than Crixus?
Those are
I
my three.
I think so. Like I respect the. I know we said the acting's not part of it, but I just think that, like, their character in general is more, like, layered.
And onions, baby.
Onions, like Brian said, man.
Although I was describing Crixus.
Oh, he was.
Oh, shit.
I might have to change that.
You played yourself,
oh,
Jimmy.
My
you
God.
Played yourself.
Can I say a fourth one?
Yeah, I had a fourth. No,
I'm sticking to it.
I had the exact same three as you did.
Yeah, I'm sticking
to
it.
So repeat them again.
Doctore is number one, and Asher and Bodiat is floating between two and three.
Yeah, that's mine.
I've got Doctore number one, Crixus number two, Bodiatus number three.
Okay.
I like Crixus. I've said it before. He's the Vegeta to Spartacus' Goku. I like that, like, hot-tempered. I don't know. I just like him. I like how he upholds, like, the honorable side of gladiators. I like what he represents. I like his sensitive side with Navia, how he's able to show that, too. That's kind of like Vegeta and Bulma, like...
That's a good parallel.
Yeah. Crixus got layers.
Yeah.
Crixus got layers. And Bodiatus.
He gets something else, too.
Bodiatus is just a schemer, which I... you stop it right now. No, Bodiatus is a schemer. I think he carried this season just with all of his antics. And yeah, so Bodiatus is my number three character.
You mean, yeah, we're kind of going to repeat it, but I would say it's Crixus, Doctore, and I'm going to say Varro.
So you're going Doctore, too?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I like Crixus a lot.
I'm saying the same. So what I have written down is Doctore number one, a tie for second for Bodiatus and Crixus, and then Varro is number three. So we're pretty much just all recycling the
same.
Yeah,
I
will say this. I like how much you guys like Asher and Bodiatus.
Yeah.
And also, Paul, I've known you for years, and I didn't peg you as a Bodiatus and Asher guy, if I'm honest.
I don't like their characters, but...
Luke said, you love to hate
them. Yeah, exactly. I don't like what they do, but I like the complexity.
Okay.
I don't know.
And my honorable mention would be probably Mira.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I mean, honestly, it sucks because, like, Lucretia needs props, like, as a character. Navia. I mean, you know, it's tough to say three, but
I'll start out for top three favorite actors and actresses.
Performances. We're going to base
performances.
On
yes,
solely the acting.
I cheated and I had to put Bodiatus and Lucretia together
as one and
as
two.
One,
so John
no, well, just
Hanna,
one. They morphed together because they were perfect playing off of each other.
Okay,
that's
fair.
Good.
I'll just jump off that because mine's not much different. Did you say third? Or you're only counting them as one?
I was going to count those as one.
Okay,
my second and third was Asher because he was absolutely phenomenal, killed it. And then Alethea because I hated Alethea so much. He did a great job at being evil.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I listed Bodiatus and Lucretia as separate. So like those were two of the three best performances in my opinion. And then third, I genuinely think, maybe it's cliche, but I thought Andy Whitfield as Spartacus was top three easily.
Yeah, I'm going to pop in and I'm going to say... in no order, because this is kind of the first I'm hearing of it, I'm going to say Andy, Battiatis, and Asher.
Yep.
And you know what? This rewatch is what pushed Asher there, because talking about it with you guys and then really, like, observing him as an actor has definitely pushed him into that level.
No Mira on that list? She did a great job.
Katrina Law.
She was actually a good actress, too. Like, her and Navia both, yeah, I thought were both better than I remembered in terms of acting. Like, they were good.
They were really good.
Yeah.
For my two cents, I would put Asher, Nick Terabay is the actor's name, as Asher number one, John Hannah as Battiatis number two, and I would probably give it to her name's Lucy Lawless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give her three. There wasn't bad acting in this
show. Lucretia, her performance, it was really good. Like, it's not like she was a likable character, because, like, we're not even giving her the credit of Battiatis and Asher being like, I like to hate her. It was just different. Like, it was just, she was just commanding on the screen. She was just a powerful female presence that, like, was good glue in between seasons, or in between episodes.
Yeah, and I mean, it's got to speak volumes that, you know, it's accepted overall, I guess, in the fandom, like you were saying, I don't have an opinion yet, but that Andy Whitfield was the Spartacus, mm-hmm, you know, and it was a tough thing for Liam McIntyre, I believe he said his name was, to take over. But yeah, I mean, I think I would have said John Hannah, Asher's actor, and then probably, besides Andy Whitfield, Viva Bianca is Alethea.
Yep.
So,
okay. Yeah.
Good job, Viva. I hate you. Well, I hate your character, not you. All right, and the last top three, we're going to do top three sex scenes. No, I'm kidding. It's going to be top three fights.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start. Oh, man. So I'm going to count the Crixus versus Spartacus fight leading into the rebellion as a fight, you know,
yeah, totally,
as one fight scene, you know, give me that shield jump. This is tough for me. I don't know if I go the Glaber fight that I brought up in three favorite moments, or the Theocles fight when it comes to two and three. And when I say Glaber fight, I mean his men fighting Spartacus. I guess I'll go, I think I'll go Theocles and then the Glaber fight.
Yep.
Cool.
As my two and three.
Because you said your one was
the Spartacus versus Crixus that leads to the rebellion.
Yep. Oh, yeah, okay.
Gotcha. Okay, so we have some variability. Admittedly, it's because I forgot to include the Glaber fight, but that's good. We have some differences. So my number one is Spartacus and Crixus versus Theocles.
Okay.
That was an awesome fight.
Yep.
I loved it. It was the birth of the Bringer of Rain. Loved it. Second one, I'm just going to lump together Spartacus and the Pits.
Oh,
I thought that
yeah.
was such a...
That was just, awesome.
I'm pissed I had that written down.
Yeah, I just like the interesting rules that they brought to it. They had some, you know, colorful characters that were wearing other people's faces. The end of the Fugitiva guy, R.I.P. and it was cool. Those were some badass fights, and they were shady. It was a very cool venue for the fights when you're used to seeing it either in the Ludus or the Arena. So I liked Spartacus in the Pits.
Mm-hmm.
And my number three was Spartacus and Varro chained together versus the guys, including Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
That
man.
Was a nice when death they, where yeah, they
get his head
popped
off,
him like
yep.
a zit. Yeah, it was. That was a cool fight. And again, I like the rules that they put in.
Yeah, so many good fights.
Okay, so Theocles is going to be my number one. I just have been preaching that since forever. So Theocles is number one. Glaber versus the guards is number two. And then my unique one, I guess, is I really liked... It wasn't really a fight to the death, but I loved the scene with Crixus and Spartacus versus Animaeus when he's teaching him how to fight Theocles.
Yeah.
And like, it's just so well done with the transition to the arena of Animaeus in the heyday,
the
and like showing the scars and like him just owning him with two swords. Like, I thought that scene was great.
Phenomenal.
And I'm going to be basic, and I'll have Theocles, Spartacus against Glaber soldiers, and then Spartacus in the pit.
Yep.
I'll just single out the last fight, because the way he kills that guy with the hook, if I'm not mistaken, is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think the second to last fight, but still, so cool. I have Spartacus versus Crixus. I mean, Spartacus and Crixus versus Theocles, of course.
Of course.
I had Spartacus and Varro chained together as well, B-Toms, because I thought the fact that the creativity behind the fights, it's not just, you know, throw them in a pit and, like, make them fight. Like, this one, there was rules. It was 2v2. It was really cool. And then my other one, I had what is one of my favorite moments right after was Spartacus. I had Spartacus 2.0 versus the six prisoners because, you know, that was the new Spartacus. He's,
right.
You know, gave up his old life, and it was just phenomenal watching that come up.
Yeah, man, the fights in this show are just so well made. Like, all of them, the blood thing grows on you, right?
Yeah, it really does. It becomes like a novelty. Yeah,
they also reel it back in after the first, like, episode or two.
The first
two.
One's
I think they
way
find
over the top.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, around, I can't remember when I wanted to say this in the podcast, but around, like, episode 6 or 7, I wanted to say either I'm enjoying the show so much that I'm not noticing that the CGI is not as great, or they just somehow improved it. You know, I don't know what it was, but, I mean, random times.
I think it's
times.
The first one.
Yeah.
But also, like, the pilot was probably made way before the rest, because that's usually what they do.
Right.
So, like, there's, you know, they probably got some feedback, reel it back a little bit. Yeah. So it's probably a combination of both of them. But, real quick, I did have my top three sex scenes now that, because I kind of just.
Oh, you banged them out real quick?
I wrote them down real quick, and they're good ones. All right. So I'm going to start 3, 2, 1. So number three is very early. It might be the second episode, but basically it's the first time you ever see Body Otis and Lucretia bang, and they're just having a casual conversation while the one slave is just finger banging Lucretia and the other one's just giving Body Otis head.
Yeah, talking
strategy.
And they're
just not even acknowledging any of it. I think one of us said, I think it might have been Brian, was just like, what a power trip. Like, just like kind of just showing, you know. Number two is when the House Body Otis is hosting an event, and there's a lot of people there, and they're just betting on Varro banging this.
Yeah.
How many strokes he's going to last while he's just banging this chick in front of all of them. I thought that was amazing. And then, of course, number one, any scene that Sura gets banged by Spartacus wins.
I'm surprised you didn't. I don't need us all to do this, but I'm surprised that you didn't bring up the Spartacus Alethea sex scene.
No.
That's like, that would be number one of a lot of my shows in general. just because of, like, the craziness of it, where they take the mask. Yeah.
What about Numerius and Alethea? What could have been sex scene? I guess he's 15,
cut
so
that.
That's a little.
cut that.
But other than that, I mean,
final thoughts, boys.
Yeah.
Anything?
I have. So I can't. We can't ask what you're most looking forward to, because as we know, the next season is a prequel. So we can ask, what are you most hoping to learn about and uncover and get some backstory on?
Honestly, I think we already know some of the things that we're going to get in the first season, because one of the earlier episodes in Blood and Sand is Legends, where they kind of touch on how Crixus became Crixus and how Doctore became Doctore and how Barca became the
Beast of Carthage.
I just want to see those actual fights. I want to see Animaeus versus the Shadow of Death. I want to see Crixus versus those two, like, half-beast, half-man twins. I want to see Barca versus his entire village, wasn't it? And his dad.
Yeah, his,
if they show us any or all of those fights, I would be satisfied. But I want to see these gladiators become the legends that we know them as in Blood and Sand.
Yeah, and I'm going to mirror Brian, and I'm not going to repeat any of that, but also I want to see a young Body Otis, or a younger Body Otis, and I don't know if it's Legends of the Arena, correct? The name?
Gods of the Arena.
So I don't know if he'll be in this as, like, someone in the arena, but I would like to see Asher throw down, man. I don't know, like, if he's going to be in the prequel or not, but
let it go, bro.
No, spoilers.
I think we're gonna get Crixus
hurting his leg.
Crippling Asher, which would, you know, that would be telling as to why Asher hates him so much, at least.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to find out if they're right on the next Binge With Us series. I guess that'll be Binge With Us Spartacus Gods of the Arena. That'll be coming to you guys soon. But
we might take a week break, but we're probably just gonna go right into it, because there's only six episodes for the next season. we still are kind of have to determine how we want to break down the episodes. We might do 2-2-2. We might do 2-2-1-1. I don't know. We still have to talk about that, but we're going to get right on, 100% going to be recording podcasts on Spartacus Gods of the Arena.
Yeah, and you guys should also look out for, in a couple weeks, we're going to have Ruben DeJong on this Shadow of Death, Theocles. He'll be on for an interview with us, and that'll probably be in the middle of Gods of the Arena.
Yeah, we're just going to ask him as many questions, like nerd questions we can think about the first season and then like what he thought about the rest of the series as a whole. And then anything you guys want to hear about that, just, you know, post it anywhere on Reddit. We read everything.
And the Facebook groups. We appreciate you guys. The Facebook groups, the Reddit groups, you already have given us a lot of questions. So we're writing it all down.
All right. We did it, guys. First season done.
Let's go. First official
binge with us done. That's going to be a wrap for us, guys. If you like what you heard and you're a fan of the 100, we also do a 100 podcast for season 7. So go give that a look. And if you like it, you know, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also be sure to subscribe to our show on Spotify and Apple. Once again, we are Bingetown TV. And thank you so much for listening.